wrapped in a cloak of shadows. Armed with blood and magic, the Tremere have forced themselves into vampiric society, and they shall carve out a place for themselves to stand the test of time. The Strand Gamers presents For House and Clan, a Dark Ages game of Vampire the Masquerade.
All right. All right, we're live. So before we get into all the stuff that that happened last week.
Say last week. Whatever the eternity ago was in the last play.
3 weeks ago, I think, was the last time we played. So we had 2 weeks of downtime. I got nothing because I'm looking up a ritual, so you guys talk.
We're here again. We skipped a year. And almost that much longer of real time.
Your conception of time is off, just FYI. I'd get that checked out.
Okay. These guys are talking about all the fun things they learned, like rituals.
Yeah.
I don't. Turns out I'm a gargoyle.
I also learned a new path. Now I can move like a half a pound of shit around with my brain.
That doesn't seem very useful.
He puts a few more dots into it and he can Superman around.
Right, that's more useful. Oh, and we have Andrew here.
Hello, I'm going to be quiet.
Okay. Because we are recording, as always, live at Games and Gizmos, the store that Evan, for some reason, owns.
No reason.
No, there are reasons, they're just bad.
Right.
Because I'm bad at math, that's why. Yeah. Alright, so, come on.
So, yeah, we were doing some metagaming, I guess.
Yeah. With this,
so.
What'd you take? Scry?
Well, I took Scry. I also took Pavis of the Foul Presence.
Yep.
Because
Venture.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking more Torridor, but, I have a
Venturador?
Thing. Yeah, Venturador. What else did I take? I think I took Donning the Mask of Shadows. That's a new one for
That's
me.
That's a good one.
Oh, no, he had that.
I have that one.
Yeah.
Which we've only actually used once.
You are, all of you, really both of you have Blood Mastery already, right? I made you guys take that?
Yeah.
Wait. No. No, you did not.
Do you have Blood Mastery?
No.
Okay, take Blood Mastery. That's it.
Okay.
No, not both of you. Him. Oh. Bill was looking for another ritual to take. Another level one ritual, and I'm saying...
Yep. Oh, I thought you were just handing these things out for free.
No, I'm not.
No? Oh, okay.
Alright, so I took 11 months worth of rituals and 1 month worth of making a towel.
Okay. Sounds good.
I get a big pile of XP that will someday turn into Sharky
I think we had ruled that it was going to take you 1 lunar month to make your talisman instead of 6 months or whatever it said on there, because you only ever need to make the one, so we're just moving on. So essentially what Klingon the Insect, or not, excuse me, Klingon the Insect, which is another ritual that I've added in there, we'll get to that in a minute.
Okay.
What Blood Mastery does is, if you get their blood, you spend half an hour doing a ritual, mixing your blood in with theirs and boiling it all up together, the next action you take against them, any sort of action, does not need to be physical, so this includes thumb rolls or other rituals, you're at -2 difficulty on the roll.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Seems good.
Especially considering we have things like the prince's blood in storage, and
the ritual contradicts itself halfway through the system. Full stop. That is what the ritual does. I'll fix the system later because I hate the way White Wolf writes stuff.
Alright. We'll just check it out on the website then.
What does it say?
It says that, and then later on says, but it only works in situations where you're directly contradicting a thing that they are doing. So later on it says, only if you parry them. Or whatever, only if you're doing a thing to stop them from doing a thing. But I like Blood Mastery being, it's easier for me to mess with you.
Yeah.
So, let's keep it going.
Me too. Look at all the things we have in common.
Did not add any level 2 rituals. Level 3, I added Cling of the Insect, which is exactly what it sounds like. You can climb on surfaces. You can kill a spider and eat it and climb on other surfaces.
Yeah. Which is not actually an insect. So, I have some serious...
Yeah.
...with the that ritual.
They didn't understand that in the Dark Ages. They were all bugs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're okay with
suspension of disbelief ruined.
Okay. And I believe Flesh of Fiery Touch is also new. I don't think that was in there before.
No.
Which is another one that it sounds like. If they touch you, they are horribly burned. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
That was third as well, right?
That's level 3, yep. I don't think there's any new level 3s.
Except the 2 you just said.
Yeah.
Any other new level 3s?
4.
No new level 4s, and the only new... Well, excuse me, there's 2 new level 5s. One is Escape to a True Friend, which is of limited use. You make a circle, and then you, at any point in time, you can go to that circle and teleport from that circle to the one person you've designated as your true friend. So, for example, Marius could designate Celestine and transport himself to where she is.
All the way back to Seoris.
But since that circle is immovable once it's been created, it's not like you just walk around with this teleportation spell ready or anything like that.
Right. How long does it take to make a circle?
Like a couple nights, if I remember right.
What if I make sample of 4 out of plank and just carry that around
them. Make it into a carpet and roll it up.
I'm going to rule specifically that you need to have, it needs to be an immovable surface. It can't be like the bottom of the carriage.
Sure.
Or anything like that that you can take with you, only because I've seen this abused horribly in a Modern Knights game where a guy had it, he had it scribed on the bottom of his child abduction van. He had a white van with Hogwarts written on the side and just drive around town and then teleport home. What have you done?
Apparently I've been trying to knock myself out.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
Yeah.
Let's see. Making a circle.
I tried.
Yard-wise,
Bill just wasn't accepting tonight. He wants to be
ground,
cognizant of all that, so.
6 hours a night for 6 nights to cast.
All
right. Reduced by 1 night for every 2 successes. So it actually
might not take
long.
You put 1 here and 1 in Seoris. That's pretty convenient.
Yeah, but who's my true friend here?
Well, that's
none of you fuckers, that's for sure.
Language, please. There's children in the store. And we are out front tonight.
It's not like they can't hear us when we're in the back. It's just easier to forget. And then you swear loudly. And John comes back and yells at you.
Yeah.
Anyway, the other new level 5 ritual is the one that Lawrence perfected in this year of downtime. Sculpting the Perfect Servant. Which is not a short-term ritual by any means.
Yeah.
No.
Step 1, get a baby.
Nope. Nope, step 1 happens before you get a baby, turns out. If you guys would like to explore that ritual, perhaps we can talk more about it.
I'm sure Lawrence would love to go into
that.
Tell
Lamont about that ritual. Or do. I love making friends with Jacks.
But Lamont already kind of knows a little bit.
No,
he got the first steps, didn't
he? No one told him. He knows Maria is having a baby. Nobody said Maria's having a baby expressly so we can experiment on it.
Does he even actually know she's having a baby, or does he just know she's
having a freak
out? No, she said, I'm trying. She told him.
Okay.
No, she told him it was none of his business.
I knew she was getting a freak on, but as the year passes, turns out I know this.
Right, well, when 4 months before we're picking things up, she gives birth to a baby. Definitely.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, let me give you guys some updates. Let's kick into some of the things that have happened in the past year before we do the vignettes of the things you guys have been up to.
Okay.
So over the past year, the St. Giles Abbey has been completed. Like, all the renovations are done. It has been rebuilt, and now it is being expanded upon. All of you guys have been moved into the basement, except Lamont if he doesn't want to go, but a room has been made for him down there. You still need to leave through the main hall, but that main hall is basically closed off, and now it's vampire-only territory.
Okay.
So, 2/3 of the catacombs have been completely dug out and renovated and turned into essentially underground living spaces, and all of the corpses have been moved over to the remaining third of the catacombs, which was kind of dug out a little bit more to make more room for the bodies. A small cottage was built on the grounds of the abbey, and Maria is living there. She's been living there since it became obvious that she was pregnant. The monks became uncomfortable with having her in the building with them, so they moved her out there.
That's extremely bizarre. That their breaking point was her becoming pregnant.
No, the breaking point was her being a female.
Right, I think they knew that one, though.
So as a reminder, these monks have all been brainwashed. So only vestiges of their former personalities remain. Her being female was something that you never heard anything about. In fact, her being pregnant was not something you heard them complaining about. Lamont probably just heard, okay, and we've moved her out to the cottage.
Right.
If he has gone to visit her since then, like since she moved out there, she is very happy not being in the building with all the monks. Like, she is very pleased to have her own cottage. Mm-hmm. So. It is what it is. Why hasn't that loaded?
Have you tried talking to the computer in dulcet tones?
Hello, computer. Hello, computer. There are now three functioning wings on the chantry building itself. So there was the chantry is shaped like, and there was that dome building up here with the two wings coming off the side. There's a third one being built off the side here. No new monks have moved in, but they now actually have living space. Now they have like a kitchen in there. They're brewing their own beer. There's a small printing press that's been set up in there. It's a functioning abbey now.
Sure.
Convenient.
Yes.
Are we recruiting?
Two new arrivals have happened since... they actually showed up in the first 6 months of downtime. Their names are...
I actually just meant recruiting monks.
Oh, recruiting more monks? Not actively. You've had a couple of people show up wanting to join the order, and they've been allowed in and then promptly dominated into oblivion. Yeah. So.
'Cause her.
Right.
What? There's got to be some of the monks that aren't just completely dominated,
so
right?
All of them,
give us an appearance of being...
All of them are capable of holding conversations and acting fairly normal, especially for monks, because they're quiet, they're taciturn, and they just kind of go about their business. So if people come up and ask them questions, I have my duties to attend to, you may wait here. And that's normal for a monk. So...
If you go on a date with them, you know, ask them about their parents, what their favorite song is, you might have some problems.
Gotcha. Okay.
Unless you're prepared for answers like, I don't think about my family anymore, and music is the devil's tool.
Yeah. Well, that last one's kind of monkey.
It's not. They sing a lot. Monks.
Not good song. Not rock and roll.
No, they do not sing rock and roll. Let's see. Wolfgang, you were Apprentice 3 when you stopped. You have been promoted to Apprentice 4. Lawrence has been promoted to Apprentice 3. Lawrence has been named the Master of Apprentices.
Okay.
Which means it's his job to organize the education of the apprentices, and it's made clear that basically that's his job, so your job can be Andretti's second. We'll get to what Andretti's been up to.
I think you're forgetting that Marius was demoted to Apprentice 0.
Marius is Apprentice 2. You got a promotion.
Wait. So,
yes, Lawrence outranks you.
Yes. In fact, Luke Frost stepped on your head.
No, Lawrence came in at Apprentice 2.
Okay.
He showed up at Apprentice 2, and when he submitted...
He introduced himself as first.
No, he did not.
Okay. He did. I thought he...
Almost for 4 hours.
Yeah.
Listen to the session we came in.
In any case, after submitting that ritual of his, and after the child was born, and the ritual appeared to have worked, he was immediately promoted to Apprentice 3. This is his third level. Apprentice promotion. And if you complained about it, the answer was, well, what have you done for the chantry?
Yeah.
Anyway.
And then Andretti's all like,
he drops the mic. There are two new apprentices who are both apprentices of the first circle, so you outrank them. Theobald and Alfric. any interactions that any of you have had with Theobald, including Lamont, he has been not obsequious, because he there's not that cloying feel to it of him trying too hard, but he doesn't do a lot of looking you in the eye unless you ask him to. He follows directions immediately. He's just very prompt with responding to orders. There's a twinge of emotion about all of it, but you can't really put your finger on what it is. But he just tries to get his job done and be very, very proactive. Alfric is very slow. Takes him like an extra, however, get half as much again to get anything done. That, like, any of you, like, you know, hey, you go make these three bloodstones for me. It should take you 3 nights. 4 nights later, he's like, I finally made all of these stones that you asked me for. I had a little bit of trouble. So, he's not necessarily the best at what he does, but he is slow and methodical. Neither of them seem to have the raring personality. Those guys aren't fine. He has a very slow and thoughtful personality, and neither of these people appear to have a desire for power. Neither of them are grubbing for higher position or asking about what they can do in the Chantry to impress anybody or anything like that. They're just kind of keeping their heads down about it.
Okay.
The reason Wolfgang has been given so much leeway lately, aside from it's either that or I brainwash him and send him back to Sioris as a complete screw-up, is that Andretti is spending more and more time in the city with the prince.
Okay.
He has essentially started acting as her seneschal. He's her second in the city. She listens very deeply to any questions or requests that he has. Basically, these other two apprentices showed up and were summarily introduced in the city without a blink of an eye. There's no problem getting that through. He's very frequently in council with her and the other vampires in the city, and there are a number of new arrivals in Colmar as well. So when he is away from the Chantry on political business, basically, he says that Wolfgang has his full confidence to get anything done, and if the apprentices need to be shepherded in a specific direction, put Lawrence on it, and Lawrence will make it happen.
Okay.
Before we get into the rest of the city, what have the three of you been up to in the last year?
Apparently.
Like a boss.
Like a boss. Let's start from the bottom.
Lamont.
Okay, well, if you folks remember, before our year's time skip, a certain Mr. Wolfgang, the one bonded Lamont.
Seems to have worked out well for Wolfgang.
Yeah, he's fourth circle now. Go figure.
Lamont now considers Wolfgang essentially his own child who must be shielded, protected, and guided. So enjoy that. I now sleep outside your room, in the wall.
That's cool.
In the crypt now. He's in the crypt.
Oh, okay.
Remember?
Yeah. So I'll just perch outside your crypt. Like a gargoyle. Let's see. Aside from that, I got to stay home for a while and actually look after my apprentices and my monks. So... I patrol around. Now that Maria's had a baby, I'm going to make him some little stone figurines, because I have craft mason.
Sure.
Nice.
And, I have started up a small farm to feed myself. So I have a herd of animals that I suck from.
What kind of animals? We're talking like skunks or what?
Yes, we're talking skunks.
Yes.
Pigs and cows.
Oh, from the local farm animals?
Well, breed them.
Yeah, I mean, a couple of farms have gone abandoned.
Okay.
In the last couple of years. I mean, you guys have run into abandoned farms already. So
yeah.
Finding feral descendants of domesticated animals is not all that difficult. And this guy can certainly do that. I'm going to assume that Lamont is not making any effort to interact with vampires other than the Tremor and the Chantry. You're not going to go introduce yourself to the local court or anything?
This is my job. I stay here. I guard the Chantry. Especially my child.
My beautiful boy.
It's so touching. No, seriously, stop touching.
Hands on the top of the table there.
Nope. Hands are too busy. So, what has Marius been up to?
So Marius is going to get himself a ghoul. He's a little put back by all this leapfrogging stuff. So he's going to spend like a month or two, I guess, getting to know some of the easier people that he can ghoul, meaning
the... So the horse.
The horse, exactly. And he's going to look for a more experienced one, one that uses... You know, he's thinking here because he understands that he doesn't necessarily have the social skills. So he's specifically looking for one that can talk the talk, exactly. To help boost his shortcomings.
Giggity.
Yeah. So...
Giggity, giggity.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So he's going to spend some time there trying to find out, like, who is the most social of them.
So you basically spend a couple of months scouting town out looking for these people.
Yeah. I hang out in the bars.
Checking out the local talent.
No, that's what I do.
Grizzled prostitute.
Before like we talk about that, there's...
He wants a double A, not a triple A.
Right. And he's watching. You know, he watches them work.
Let me rewind for a moment. Because Lamont has been looking in on Maria.
Yes.
Her son, I don't know how much interaction in your head Lamont has had with infants. I'm imagining very little.
Zero.
Yeah. Other than infant animals and animals that have a husband.
It's a little person.
Right. The baby spends a lot of time, whenever you're around her, if the baby is awake, and for the first couple of months, he's not. He's usually asleep or feeding. But when he is awake, he's got a very piercing stare. To him, he spends a lot of time, not like, obviously it's not staring at you in challenge, but it's the normal baby, like, shell shock.
Like, bring it.
Right. Baby's like, do it and lift! No, he is very obviously observing very keenly the world around him. His eyes kind of dart around and focus. He follows conversations. Maria grudgingly calls him Magnus, because that is the name that Lawrence chose for him.
Nice.
And she's a very caring mother to this infant. There is an undercurrent of a number of different emotions that Lamont's having a hard time unraveling and sussing out, and thus far in the past 4 months since the baby has been born, he is not really gotten Maria to open up about anything. She's obviously very emotional about something regarding all of this, but at this point she just tells you that she's tired, the baby's up all the time, she just feels out of it. She needs more rest, she'll talk to you tomorrow.
And well, if she needs a babysitter, we should arrange a play date.
Squealing pig, go.
No, I meant with Wolfgang.
Oh, right. she is by no means ever allowed you to hold the child. She's never been rude about it, but she's never offered to let you hold him or anything. You've been there a couple of times when Lawrence has come to visit her, and every once in a while he will ask to inspect the child, and will hold the baby up at arm's length and look at it.
Rattle it around a little bit.
Yeah, very clinically. The baby doesn't cry in his hands or anything like that, just continues to give him the same kind of piercing stare he gives everyone else. What's up, man? John, right over there. Hey, John, raise your hand. There you go.
Or raise your youth.
Yeah. Get to work.
You do.
I heard that.
I'm going to buy him a flogger.
Giggy.
Cat of nine tails.
Anyway, there's clearly some undercurrent of emotion and something else going on around there, but you haven't been able to pick out what it is.
Yeah.
Moving on to Marius and his adventures in prostitution.
Yes.
Let's be honest.
It might lead to that. Who knows?
In the last 8 months, so there's about 4 months of downtime where you're just kind of like looking into things and trying to figure out who to pick, because I assume you kind of hit the ground running.
Yeah,
trying to figure this one out. You'd had a couple of different ideas. One of them died of some illness or another. She just wasted away very quickly and died. Another one left town. So there's been a couple of times you've had to go back to square one. You're like, I think this is the one. I think, nope, not the one.
Nope, color.
Dysentery. Damn it. Okay, that's very frustrating.
So, They're prostitutes in the Middle Ages, man. It's not his
fault.
They
do not have a big life. Yeah. What is wrong with him that he's doing this?
Oh, yeah. A few months after that, things get super organized. Like, you're kind of, like, looking at people down at the Pig and Whistle because you know there's some active prostitution going on there.
Yes.
There's a few other places that run as brothels after hours as well, like residences and barn houses and things like that. And you're aware of all those. You've kind of been sneaking around. Everything gets super organized in the next couple of months. And in your time, because I'm assuming that you guys are going in and out of court and things like that as well, there's a new Toreador in town. Her name is Lacelle Margain.
Yes.
And it becomes very, very clear very quickly that she has taken over prostitution in the city. A lot of the pimps and prostitutes in the area are ghouled directly to her. Not all of them. But that kind of throws you for a loop.
Yeah, the fucking
language.
The Toreador, yes. Yeah. They keep fucking with Marius, and this is getting very... Yeah.
She doesn't, as far as you know, she's not even aware of your existence. Much less that you've got a plot or a plan here. Eventually, you do find one of the... Are you looking for an older prostitute that is at the end of her useful lifespan for this business? Or are you
preferably,
one
that has more experience. Because I'm looking for someone that can... Not necessarily, I'm not looking for looks, appearance, per se. What I'm looking for is someone to help compensate for Marius' shortcoming in the social areas. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay.
Give me an... Oh... Let's do intelligence and... I'm making you roll intelligence.
Yes.
Let's do an intelligence plus investigation check as you continue to look at all these somewhat lovely ladies.
Okay. Difficulty?
6.
1. Success.
Okay.
Get a solid 1. Success!
So
I'm going to take a much more direct approach that down to this. I see, notice that this thing is happening.
Do you not want the result?
Yeah, tell me my success.
You're so mad. This is so awesome.
I'm about to whip my sword out and just start killing Toreador.
Worked out well the last time. It's true. More people to the lobster eyes. With your one success, you are having difficulty finding prostitutes that are like slick social movers and shakers. Which it sounds like that's what you're looking for. You're looking for someone who's a smooth talker, who's fairly intelligent, and can get things done. Looking around the outskirts of town and the suburban areas near the abandoned mines and things like
I am not finding
what you are looking
for. I am willing to go to Mole House to expand my area.
Okay. The issue that you believe you are having is the thing that you want does not really exist in the clientele you are looking at. This city has women of low means and desperation who are selling their bodies for money. This town does not have an organized courtesans guild where ladies are taught to be high-class escorts who can read poetry and play music and happen to also be good at sex. This is not what is here.
And Mole House, is there?
No. These are towns on the outskirts of the Holy Roman Empire. What you are looking for are the sorts of things you find in central cities. The way things are getting organized, if you wait another 10 years, you might have exactly what you're looking for here. Here's that's the direction things are going in. Some of these prostitutes can read now, because they're being taught. But that's new.
That is new.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, you better go kill those Toreador.
I'm this close.
Are you done? I thought we could do another 20 minutes on medieval sex trade.
So, Marius is going to settle for one that can read, then.
Is your goal to find a prostitute who can read, or is your goal to find a social person?
More a social person.
Okay.
But
so, instead of being... I'm asking you as a player.
Yes.
Instead of being, like, locked in on finding a prostitute...
No, it doesn't have to be a prostitute.
Okay.
That's just where Marius starts. Because that's what he knows.
All right.
Okay.
What women do I know?
Well, there doesn't even have to be a woman. Just all right.
And
it seems I might have more success at the more, what is it, the other tavern that's in downtown, the Northern District? It's in the Torridor part of town.
Some of the guild houses?
Yes.
Sure. I mean, that is certainly a possibility.
And seeing that I am not very good with this, I'm going to resort to going to straight up just, like, dominating people and having them tell me who they think is the most person to make this a little more productive. Because, obviously, Marius being subtle is not working, so he's got to whip out his hammer.
So... Okay, so essentially what's happening is you'll yeah. Thank you. You'll head out to one of these houses of ill repute. You'll pay your way. Do you have a dot of resources?
Yes, I do.
Okay. You'll head to one of these houses of ill repute. You'll pay your way. She had a lot more than that.
Yeah.
You'll pay your way into a room, and then when she's like, "What's your pleasure, sir?"
Yeah.
He'll be like, "Tell me who you think is the most wordy, talky person you know."
Exactly.
Sure.
I will dominate my way up to finding this.
What are the list of attributes you are looking for? If you read me skills off your sheet, so help me God.
Marius realizes his shortcomings in the social situations, and he's looking to rectify that.
Okay.
With a ghoul. Preferably. Rather than taking the 20 years he needs to actually start learning the skills himself.
Are you heading out?
Yeah.
What's up?
Oh, I was going to finish it before.
Okay.
About 8 hours work.
Okay, cool. Are you going to be in tomorrow?
Maybe. Probably during the day.
Okay. I will set up with you then. That's cool. All right, thanks. All right. So, your social shortcomings... Someone who can make up for those and is willing to put up with you.
Yes. Well, yes. But that's not as high in the list, because after their
the
blood
bond will make them put
yes.
up.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So, you run through this script a few times with a few different women in different parts of the city. And there's a person... That keeps coming up. He's a client of theirs who keeps coming up.
Yes.
He's well-read. He's educated. He's evidently traveled a lot. His name's Chaucy.
Chaucy. All right, yeah. Chaucy
he's
it is.
He's a son of nobility, evidently. He's fairly young.
Even
like
better.
Maybe 18 or 20 years old. And he doesn't just, you know, pay for services rendered. He'll read them poetry. He'll tell them how their eyes are like, you know, beautiful portals into the night sky and things like that. And they think it's really sweet.
Good. I'm going to set up or dominate a meeting.
So you have mesmerism.
Yes, I do. I have two dots.
Okay. Yeah, you can implant a command for later. So the next
yeah.
time one of these people sees Chaucy, she can have him, you know, have her take him to you. Someone I'd really like you to meet.
Yes.
Sure. So, you would like to meet and greet with Chaucy.
Exactly.
All right. So, you'll meet with Chaucy in a bar. Because that's where these people are.
Good. And then I guess I'll see if I can get a conversation to talk about...
Do you carry your armor and your Crusader sword around with you at all times?
No.
Okay.
No. That would just scare people away.
Sure.
Yeah. I will, yeah. I'm going to get him to a little place here.
He'd be breaking rules if you just grab him by the throat, put him on the table, and bit his wrist open and jammed in his throat.
Yeah. So I'm basically...
I'm not allowed to do that in polite society.
Yeah. So I'll begin talking about, you know, certain things that may be interesting to him, like theology, and then I'll just do, like, the dominate command, follow.
Okay.
Yeah, straight up, follow me, take him to a place, mesmerize, drink... Mesmerize. Meet me tomorrow at the Chantry.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll straight up just dominate this guy into submission.
What's your intelligence?
Two.
Give me a check.
Intelligence check.
That's six.
One success.
Okay. There's a warding circle versus ghouls up around the Chantry, and if you pour blood into his throat once, he's a ghoul.
Well, it's bad.
I hadn't gotten to it on my list. I apologize.
Okay.
A warding circle versus ghouls has been put up as well.
So I'll meet him.
The ghouls for the Chantry have been keyed through it. So
at a farmhouse or something in the evening.
Sure.
Yeah. Sure. All
right. in the interest of getting through this and not spending another evening laughing at your
my botched attempts
your,
at trying
your
to
funny
be
attempts at getting ghouls, we'll say that Chaucy is now yours.
Okay. I had to just get down to just dominating.
Is your intention to have him living in the chantry with you?
Depends on his circumstances. I'll ask him once I get him bloodbound.
Sure. He's staying in town. He's actually from England. He's come across the water. He's traveled this far, and he's got enough money to kind of stay for a while. He's making a little bit of money doing scribing work for people and things like that. But his intention was to follow the crusade out east to the Holy Land. So he wants to be a bard, basically. He wants to be a minstrel. He wants to scribe down all this crazy stuff that's happening in the world and see all of that. So he's got enough money to get himself to keep himself here, but not more than that. So resources won.
Gotcha. Okay. Yes, I have a good story for him to consider after a while, but after I bring him in.
Okay.
Yeah. Then how much over time I have left...
Before Nick stabs you.
No, I mean, how many months or whatever?
I'm going to say like 7 months have passed total.
Yeah, and so he is now basically my attaché or whatever, yes. However you want to put it as, working for me, and I'm going to take the time to teach him about the hidden side of things, spending time to let him know about the occult. And
okay, so you're specifically teaching him occult and about the supernatural world.
Yes. Okay. He seems interested in that, I assume.
He's very interested in that.
Yes, now he is now a part of that. I do not spare him. I straight up tell him how it is. I don't try to hide the truth. I don't try to say, oh,
so,
this is...
You're basically like, so I'm a vampire, and now you are my bloodbound thrall. Do you specifically explain to him that, like, the emotions he's feeling towards you because of all the blood that you've put in him, and now he's your servant forever?
No, I kind of skirt around that part.
All right, so you don't just tell him everything.
Yeah, not those things. Yeah. I suppose I should be more specific.
I put my blood in you, so...
About the different kinds, yes.
You'll stop aging.
The different kinds of, the vampires, the different clans.
And there's no downside.
So that way he can be a better... I guess, servant, and knowing these things,
okay.
Especially if I'm having him talk to him and be my...
Okay.
So I'm going to hole up and spend the rest of my time with that, other than rituals with him,
sure.
Teaching him these things. I would also like to get a feeling for his martial capabilities.
None
well.
Whatsoever.
Okay.
If this guy was thugged in a back alley, he might just straight die.
Oh, well then, after teaching him some occult, I'll go and try to teach him a little bit how to defend himself.
You have, after you ghoul him and spend some time with him, he complains that he's breaking things that he wasn't breaking before, so he's clearly picked up a lot of potence from your blood, but...
Or fortitude, right?
Potence,
okay.
Yes, because you have no control over what ghouls pick up.
Okay.
It's kind of a random... Could be potence, could be celerity, could be fortitude, and then one of your end clans is the other thing that they pick up.
Okay.
One of your end clans, not thaumaturgy.
Yeah, so it's either going to be dominator aspects or something. And no, I'll explain to him what the disciplines are.
Sure.
Yeah, how they work, and because I also have potence.
Yep.
Explain to him how I was a crusader and give him a little bit of my
back. He's very interested in that, ask you a lot of questions about the crusade and what you did in your background.
Yes. Yes, and I'll explain all that to him as well.
Okay. All right, and a fun time was had by all.
Yeah.
Bill, what have you been up to?
So Wolfgang spends almost all of his time in the library, because I'm learning a fuck ton of rituals.
Okay.
And also learning how to run the chantry since Andretti is off politicking.
Okay.
So picking up. Whatever.
If you would like to pick up some dots of Seneschal, which is the specific skill for running a household and all the people in it and keeping everything organized, you are welcome to put as many dots into that as you have XP to put into it.
What's it cost to start?
Three.
Yeah, well, I have 3 XP left. Actually, I already have a dot of Seneschal, so fuck that.
Okay. You are honing your already considerable skill. By considerable, I mean dabbling.
Yeah,
whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
We you did run a run a place full of dominated monks.
Yes, you are. Not a lot comes up.
This seems straightforward. You do that shit. Good.
Language, please.
So, other than that, so one of the things that, Wolfgang learns is blood contract.
Mm-hmm.
And he spends some time thinking about how we can potentially use that to bloodlessly bring this conflict to an end, if that's a thing that we want to do. Other than that, like, he does not do much. He is content to let Andretti go politic and Marius warmonger.
Okay.
And just kind of sit back and play with his talisman.
Sure. Because you specifically mentioned keeping this conflict to an end, one of the things we talked about was convincing Julian to not spark off a war between these two cities and tell him that the Tremere will have his back and help him do this, but this isn't the way to do it.
Right.
I'm going to assume that in this year, one of the things that you guys have done is continue to work that out with him. As far as you are aware, he has taken up residence back in Stuttgart at this point, which suggests that that means that the other Shamisei there are gone now, or he's made amends with them. You're not sure. You guys haven't spent a lot of time there. But you will get messages, like written letters from Stuttgart from him occasionally. He never comes to Colmar to meet with you, but you've occasionally had, like, direct face-to-face meetings with him outside the city.
Sure.
Basically, what he has turned it to is he's like, well, on my own, I was trying to spark off a war so Quintilius would step up and take control of the region. With your help, I don't need a war. We just need to slowly but surely build up Quintilius's connections in both of these cities. So he is by de facto running both of these places, whether the princes are aware of it or not. So that's kind of the tack that he's taken on it, and there's only so much that you can say on the contrary. Like, you can stop him from brash courses of action, but that's the direction he's decided he wants to take this in, and he's convinced that that's the way to solve things. Just basically slide Quintilius's influence into both of these cities to the point where he just kind of quietly takes them out from under the current princes. To that end, two of Quintilius's childer have moved to Colmar. You have met, well, you thought you'd met both of them before. You actually do get to meet Marcus, who's moved into the city and looks exactly like the last Marcus that you thought you met.
Taylor.
Oh, it was Taylor, right. Marcus was the one that you met that wasn't a freak. Yeah. Never mind. You do not meet Taylor. My bad. My notes are bad because it's been 2 weeks. You see Marcus again, who you'd met before, and Wyatt, the other child, who's very quiet. Also shows up here. As far as you know, Taylor is still with Lucius in Mulhouse.
We've met Wyatt. He's the one that...
You met all three.
Yeah. Wyatt was the one with all the blades and axes. And, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know that they have contact with Julian. They don't seem to be big friends of Julian's. They hold him at arm's length. They seem to be very iffy about him. You've had a couple of meetings with him and them. They've been very skeptical about anything that he has to say. They're also fairly skeptical towards you, though they are not outright hostile towards you or any of the other Tremere.
Yep.
In the last 8 or so months that they've been in Colmar, Marcus has reopened one of the two defunct tin mines in the city, and he's pushing to get the other one open. He is basically running the first mine as though he were its foreman, even though he's only active at night. You suspect that he's got a few of the miners ghouled and a few of the merchants who work with the miners ghouled. But the mine is up and running again and producing tin. Wyatt, on the other hand, has set himself up in town in an abandoned house on the outskirts of town, and is making his way, evidently, either by himself or with ghouls he has, as a black and white smith in the city. So he will make things like swords and axes and pots, but he'll also make fine silverware and jewelry and things like that. And again, you're not sure if these are things he's doing on his own or if he just has ghouls that are doing them for him. but his outward appearance has certainly changed. He's no longer the guy in boiled leathers with like six axes on his back. He carries a gentleman's sword. He's wearing nicer clothing. He's wearing jewelry that he's ostensibly crafted himself. But these two are fairly active in the city and out and about doing their thing. Yulian, again, not active in the city, but certainly in frequent contact with you. Anything else you are getting up to?
No.
Okay. Do you have anything specific you want any of the apprentices to be working on?
So by the end of the year, I definitely want to make sure that we have some reserves, so I can like have a nice stash of bloodstones.
Sure.
And things like that.
Okay.
That's that. I'll have probably spent a few nights here and there. But, I probably have a handful of soldier servants prepared, things like that.
Okay.
Are you also going to want, like, Sanguis files as well, of just blood itself stored?
That's just stored blood, as opposed to the bloodstones, which are the little rods.
I'm less interested in that, because we have all the monks. Like, really what I want is to be able to grab a handful of rocks, so that this guy doesn't go fucking crazy when we're out in the field.
Yeah, when your friends are in and stuff. Because you know he's going to follow you.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, the way
it was, if you gave it to you, that blood bond would wear off on its own.
Yeah, that's right. No problems there. Right. I think the way I'm going to run that, instead of trying to do math on how many they can make over a given period of time and how often they might screw up, I'm just going to say anytime that you guys want to go out into the field, I'm going to roll a couple of d10s, and that's how many stones happen to be prepared at that time.
Sure.
Because you're not the only one using it.
Yeah,
sometimes
sure.
Lawrence might have them go off into something.
Sure.
And use it. But you can make it a part of their weekly duties that each apprentice needs to put at least 3 bloodstones into the into the repository during the week. And Andretti doesn't have any problem with you doing that.
What's my blood situation post year?
Your which blood situation?
How much blood do I have? How much blood has been spent? Have I set the full?
I'm assuming at this point, especially if you've got yourself a herd now, by the time the night the game actually picks back up, all of you are back at full blood, you're all back at full health, you're all back at full willpower, you just happen to still be 3 points down to Wolfkin.
Sorry, wait, no.
Yeah. He was incredibly intentional.
In terms of using that blood contract, since that's specifically what you were looking for a way to use... To be clear, a couple of options you have on that are you could certainly blood contract Yulian if you could convince him to sign it, to do a given course of action.
Yeah.
You also could use it to your benefit with Yulian if that is a relationship you want to grow by having blood contracts signed in his name for other people doing things.
Smart.
Alright, so anything else any of the 3 of you want to try and get up to over the course of that year? Okay. Yeah, what's up?
Enchant talisman.
Would you like to have made a talisman? Would you like to have made your sword your talisman?
Yes, exactly.
Very good, your sword is your talisman.
Yeah.
Do you understand the rules for talisman?
Yeah, I do.
I'm going to take your word for it.
Okay.
The other folks to be aware of in the city.
How many dice does somebody get against you if they have your talisman?
Ooh.
Nice.
He's done his homework.
I made my talisman a walking stick, just like that.
Oh. Over the last couple of, basically the last 8 months, no sign of Simon or Florette has been seen anywhere.
Okay.
No one seems particularly concerned about this. The prince has not screamed and railed and shouted about anything, so.
Sure.
He's just kind of quietly gone somewhere else. Paul is certainly still in town and still operating as the sheriff of the city. And a small cadre of new venture to the city have moved in.
Okay.
Stuart Montefiore he's treated like nobility in the court the few times you've interacted with him. He has, there's a guild in town called Montevert Mercantile, which caravans goods across the breadth of Europe, and right now is raking in a lot of money moving food and finished products from west to east, with everything moving towards the crusade. So he's making a lot of money doing that. He has two children in the city with him, Edward and Daniel, who both refer to themselves as Montevert as well. Edward is the older of the two. You're not sure how old each of them are, but Edward certainly carries himself with more years and expertise. He's quiet. He spends a lot of time reading books. He doesn't spend a lot of time interacting with people. They haven't really sussed out more to his personality than that. Daniel, the younger of the two, is really excited to be a vampire. He's allowed to interact with the other vampires now. He knows how to hold himself in court, or at least that's what he tells you every time he interacts with you. He's just got that new blood stink to him, where he's just excited to be nobility. He wasn't nobility before, but look at me now, Mom.
Yeah, sure.
Let's see. Among the Toreador in the city, Byron is... He's kind of taken up a lot of the duties that his sort of sister had held. He's become a lot more sociable now that she's gone. And one of the things that the two of you pick up is, despite everything Bridget had said, Myron really has no problem with the Tremere. He really just does not seem to care. Like, he'll talk with you courteously about things. He's never made any slanderous comments towards your blood or anything like that. He's a businessman.
Sure.
Seems to be why he gets along so well with the Venture.
Meaning we have to watch him extra close now.
There is a guildmason's or a guildsman's hall that he has recently had built in Upper Colmar, and that is now the new Elysium instead of the Prince's Castle itself. So there's a place outside of the Prince's Domain that people are coming to meet. Myron had that built and has been named the keeper of the location, so he's afforded a lot of courtesy and respect while there, because you're in his home, essentially. Bodyguard, that tall German guy, David Weishaupt is his name. He's still in town. He still hangs out and does his thing. Other than that, all of the other Toreador are gone. There's a whole new crop of them in the city. There's this guy named Antonio Molinelli, who has taken up a lot of Bridget's reins in terms of trying to organize the sculptors and fine craftsmen in the city. I've already told you about Lascelle, and then... a weird couple of Toreador who spend no time with the rest of the clan. A man named Simeon, who spends a lot of time with Paul. He evidently was also a Crusader Knight at one point, even though he's Toreador by blood. He spends a lot of time with Paul because he seems to have more in common with him. There's, in fact, an incident when the guy first came into the city, dragging a woman behind him. Her name is Larissa. You find out that she's his wife. She's also a vampire. Whatever. He didn't know his clan. He just showed up, from out east, saying, I'm heading back west. I want to settle far away from this fighting. I want nothing to do with it. I don't know what I am. There was a lot of concern, or not concern, but there was gossip that he was going to be pushed out of the city because dirty caitiff aren't allowed here. Caitiff is evidently the term for vampires without a clan. Andretti made a big to-do of, if he has a true clan's blood in his veins, I can tell you what it is.
Right.
The whole
yeah.
thing about, this is the benefit that Tremere brings to him.
Yeah.
And named him a Toreador. So both he and his wife, Larissa, are acknowledged as Toreador in the city. He is Larissa's sire. He made that fairly clear. She's my wife. I made her a vampire like me because we love each other. There was a lot of raised eyebrows at that, but they seem to be making it work. Like, neither of them's friends even killed the other in the past year. So.
Sure.
But yeah, so those two are in the city as well. You guys have seen Hans from time to time make his way through court. He doesn't spend a lot of time hanging out and talking with the Tremere at all. He'll talk with Myron.
Is he still cranky?
Yeah.
He appears to still be cranky. He might perhaps be carrying an undying grudge. You can't tell.
I think he can die.
It's true.
But until he does, his grudge won't.
Okay.
And those essentially are...
And his grudge might actually be embodied in the robe. Okay.
If I do have a moment, I'll approach Hans and put a request in, I guess, for books on the occult, if he can get them for us. Just, you know, put in a ongoing request.
Sure.
Yeah. If he wants to oblige us, I guess.
I'm sure that's totally at the top of his list.
No, he doesn't have a problem with me. I'm the stupid slow one, remember?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No problems with you at all.
I could have forget.
Yeah.
All right, so we will pick things up if there's no other questions, now that we've eaten an hour of time doing this.
There could possibly be other questions. I think you've described everything.
You know what? I'm thorough.
Okay.
So I bet there's something he forgot. I bet there's something he forgot.
I'm sure. I'll say, oh, wait a minute.
I have no doubt he could say more.
Yeah, could give us an update on Piers.
You're welcome to run this if you want. Just say.
if he's running shit, we're playing Star Wars.
Right, oh yeah, that's true. Long Arm of the Hutt, go. Right now.
I don't know. Maybe that first edition Gamma World.
My Wookiee guy.
Third edition. That's 3.5 Gamma World. Or third ed Gamma World.
Nope, first.
Anyway.
You got the first edition.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. You got the first head box. I wasn't talking about it, so I don't remember.
Right.
Yeah.
I know how it is. You just talked so much that your past life was obliterated. There's only the words coming out of your mouth stretching out to infinity.
Pretty much.
Okay.
Speaking of...
I'm talking some more.
Yeah, where's your
bologna? Picking up on... shut up. We're picking up on Sunday, August 25th. It is 12:24. The Sixth Crusade has been called by the Pope. Pope Innocent, though, whatever it is at this point. This is turning into what promises to be a very bloody affair. There was a lot of thought that if there was going to be another crusade, it wasn't going to be a big deal. People are just used to the Holy Land not belonging to the Christians anymore. They're just taking it as the way things are after almost 100 years of constant conflict. There's been so much burning rhetoric and hate about the Moorish influence on Christendom and the dirtying of the temple and the Temple of the Rock and the Mound that this has turned into a real to-do and a really big deal. And able-bodied men are pouring out of almost every city in the region to make their way there. So there's a lot of people moving through Colmar.
Primitive time when different religions were fighting over the Holy Land.
I know, right? Throwing themselves to their death to control a piece of ground. Crazy. For religious purposes. So there's a lot of trade in and out of the city as people are moving out. The young able-bodied population has been fairly well depleted in the city, but there's middle-aged folk and younger folk in the city right now.
We should call the able-bodied population.
So they just stay able-bodied forever. Yeah. Step one, cool everything. Step three, profit.
Yeah, the problem we run into there is that there's no next generation.
That's true.
Unless you unghoul them long enough for them to breed. See Maria.
You're sending them all to Maria?
We have a... Nice. We have a thing for that.
Okay. Great.
And we'll pick up on the night of the 25th, having received a letter the evening before asking for a meeting with Julian southeast of town near the edge of the Black Forest.
Yep. I will... Head down there, I suppose.
Okay. You going by yourself?
No.
Good.
You're taking the gargoyle, right?
Of course I am.
Well, even if you're not taking the gargoyle, you're taking the gargoyle.
What? What do you need me for?
Because I said so. Get your sword and let's go.
Alright, I get dressed in my armor and my sword.
Have you upkept the burning blade on your sword?
No, I've taken it off and applied Ward versus Kindred on it.
Okay.
Yeah.
That extreme. Bashing damage is really important. Rituals last at maximum a year and a day, and then they must be recast.
I only put on the Burning Blade when I really want to kill someone.
Sure.
Yeah.
And Burning Blade lasts until you lose all the effects on it and then it goes out. Up to a year and a day maximum. All right.
But speaking of the enchantments on the blade, since it's now a talisman,
yeah,
is it magical enough to put on multiple enchantments? Could I have Burning Blade and Ward vs. Kindred at the same time?
No. What having talisman gives you is you can have talisman and another ritual.
Okay.
Nice try, though.
Well, I know we talked about this early in the game when you talked about things. You said maybe certain magical things, so... Or super, masterwork weapons of some sort.
Yeah, super masterwork weapons of some sort.
I'm sure that's exactly the phrase you used.
Yeah.
Hopefully he took 20 times as long to say it.
Why do you hate freedom?
See, you border guests.
Yeah.
He's leaving.
No.
Wow.
The guest, unfortunately, has wife and kids that he wants to keep.
Yeah, that is unfortunate.
There are days. This would be my kids are not behaving well today. I said, I'm going to go hang out with his sister.
Yeah. See you all later. Have a good night. Nice meeting you, man. All right, so you're taking these two with you?
Oh, yeah.
You taking any ghouls?
Nah. Well, just the horse.
The horse?
No, yeah.
Yeah. Another ghoul on this horse.
Wow.
That's racist right there.
Just straight up.
Don't you need Ludwig to drive the carriage?
Yeah, that's probably true. Okay. I need my ghouls to drive the carriage.
Hmm.
Yo, dog.
I'll take mine too for the carriage ride and adventure.
Sure.
Yeah. Why not?
I'm also gonna take the bearded lady and the monkey.
You wanted to ghoul all the things.
Uh huh.
Alright, so you and your freak show make your way, I know. You and your freak show. You make your way out to the edge of town.
That's right, yes. Yep. We make our way out to the edge of town.
And there's a small cottage out there, and there's a little lick of smoke coming up the chimney. You can see some lights on the inside. There are a few... there's a carriage out front, and a somewhat nervous-looking man who's in the coach's seat.
Yep.
On the carriage, who marks you guys as you come up, but he doesn't draw a weapon.
Yep. We don't recognize this guy.
Never seen him before. Well, you've never seen him before. Marius can make me an perception.
Awareness?
No. Alertness. Awareness is for supernatural stuff.
Yeah, he's supernatural.
Diff 8.
One. Just one success.
Okay. This guy seems somewhat familiar to you. Like, his name doesn't stick out. You don't even know if you know his name, but you think you've seen him around before. Somewhere.
Well, that's helpful.
So, sure. I guess I'll go and I'll look at him, and I'll nod.
Just, like, hop off the wagon, walk over, and just mean mug him for a bit?
Sure. Yeah, I'll do that. Why not? Okay. Go over there and just stare at him. Look at him. Until he says something.
He nods nervously. Evening, sir.
Your name?
Toby.
Toby?
Yes, sir.
Where's your master?
In the house, sir.
Very well.
I jump off the wagon and I walk nonchalantly past him.
Right.
I follow and look down.
Does Toby ring any bells with me?
No. Are you visible?
Everybody knows now, right?
Colmar doesn't.
All right, I'll get this.
You gotta spend that blood, you sucker. All
right. You'll...
That was going to be cool.
Yeah, that was going to be terrible. In fact, could you please not lean back like that there? I just... I don't have to clean the broken glass out of your body.
Okay. I guess I'll send Chaucy over to see what information he can get from the ghoul.
Chaucy, go hang out with this guy?
Get some information, see what you can find out about him.
Okay.
Yeah, then go inside. Yeah.
I tell Ludwig to stay on the goddamn ladder.
Sounds good, sir. Sounds like a reasonable plan.
Yep.
Indeed. Okay. So yeah,
you knock on the door. There's some hushed speaking that quiets down when the door. There's the knocking after a moment. Yulian opens it, looks out. Oh, please come in. We're just starting.
Good evening.
He opens the door and gestures for you to enter. It's a single room cottage. This is clearly just some hard scrabble hut that somebody had for a while. There's a large central table, and Wyatt and Marcus are each sitting kind of near each other at the table. They've got their swords leaned up against the table, but they're still sheathed.
Sure.
Wow. They nod as you enter. Actually, they nod and stand as you enter.
Good evening, gentlemen.
William says, please, have a seat. Sure, I've got chairs for all of you.
Sure.
Looks around and pulls two other chairs over.
I grab the one next to Wyatt's, preferably.
Okay.
I take the other one.
Yeah. Sure.
I loom behind Wolfgang invisibly.
Yep. Every once in a while, you can feel something brush the back of your shoulders.
It's comforting.
He starts purring. Somebody leave a dog outside?
Sounds like it.
Goddamn savages in this town. Sit quietly.
Also, I think the kids left.
Oh. Fuck! Alright. There's a map of the region in front of them.
Did you say
map? I said map.
No, you definitely did not.
You said map.
You clearly said a map of the region.
Let's go to the recording. I don't believe you. There is a map of the region.
Here, would you like to talk to the map?
Nope.
It's
all good.
I want to talk to the map. There's a map of the region, specifically the area between Colmar and Mulhouse, and the routes through the Black Forest, and then out east towards, northeast towards Paris, and then southeast towards the other larger cities, like and on the Iberian Peninsula, are all marked out on there as well. And Julian says, we were just discussing the current delicate situation, I suppose, Colmar Court. Things appear to be progressing well in Mulhouse. Lucius Quintilis continues to gain support and control in the region. Marcus clears his throat and says, I will repeat that my sire is not interested in seizing Praxis in Mulhouse. He's a citizen of the city. He does not want control. His business interests are going well. The room is off.
Dear Marcus, it has been some time since we've spoken. Perhaps you would pardon me and remind me what it is that your sire does desire in this region.
I smile at that. Predictability. Control is a strong word. He wants the comfort of knowing that war is not going to break out and that he is not going to be fighting for his life. He wishes time to think, to reconsider, to build a new philosophy to lead our clan with. This is a comfortable place to do so.
Very good. He is invested in continued peace between these two cities and helping these places learn to work with each other without raiding against one another.
Both he and Wyatt, not the same smile, because they're not actually related to each other, like this guy's child, but they'll both kind of get a relieved smile on their face. Marcus will nod and say, yes, if either His Grace the Prince of Mulhouse or Her Grace the Prince of Colmar requested the guidance or assistance of Lord Quintilis, he would be pleased to provide a direction for them to move in the moment, but would never dream to seize control of either of their cities.
Draw one card.
Of course. Julian rolls his eyes. It's like, when they call a thing whatever we wish to call it, the reason I asked you here...
Not to interrupt, but I want to be clear. The semantics are important because the motives that drive them can either be our success or our undoing. Please bear that in mind. Continue.
He bites back something he clearly wants to say.
I smile.
There seems to be some contention in the Colmar court. Wyatt was just bringing me up to speed on this burgeoning feud between Lord Montefort and Mr. Molinelli about control of trade in and out of the city. They both have some very different ideas of what they want to do with it. He was complaining that it is getting in the way of his own businesses. What I was suggesting is this would be an excellent opportunity to play the one off the other and allow Mr. Smythe, he gestures at Wyatt, to request oversight or domain over trade within the city to make sure that neither the Venture nor the Toreador interrupt matters for their own purposes.
Not to suggest that Mr. Smythe is unable or willing to do so, but why might we believe that he will be allowed to do so? He has been here for a month.
Wyatt nods and says exactly the same to him. Right now, the loudest argument Molinelli makes in court is that if the prince continues to allow the Venture to run roughshod over trade in the city, it will become clear that this is a Venture city and the Toreador will have to leave. That argument is becoming rusty, but it's gotten him a great deal of mileage. Letting the two of them complain and fight with each other has worked for now, but I have a great overstock of finished goods, keepsakes from home, small weapons, table knives that I would love to send out movies to, purely for the sake of the profit of the people that I'm taking care of in the city. It is becoming problematic because my goods are not stamped with the right guild symbols and are not allowed export on any of the shipments leaving the city, and I certainly do not want to fund my own expeditions at least. So, I want to get business done. Lord Bradovich has perhaps taken too many steps forward. Eventually, one day, I think this situation can be played so that the Bruja can step up and provide a common ground for the Toreador and the Venture of the city to utilize in their trade, in their businesses. But for now, I think if I attempted to make a move, I would be seen as a usurper and a novice in coming into the city and ruin any chance I had in the future of building bridges in both directions.
I believe you are absolutely correct. You cannot make such a move. If it came to pass that it was requested of you to fill this role, you would, of course, accept.
For the security of the city and the peace of mind of the Toreador and the Venture, I would be more than happy to be a neutral party.
Everybody draws another card.
Very good. I'll take this into consideration. There may be leverage that I can exert here. What other business have we? He looks back to you.
Julian shakes his head. My little birds have not spied much to the east. I'm concerned that this crusade happened sooner than I expected it would. I think we've stirred up a hornet's nest and we can expect trouble in the near future. But with so many troops moving in that direction, I think that it would be difficult to move back up the river. As it were, things are going to need to calm down and settle here in the west before we'll start seeing infiltration from the east. But that is where I'm specifically putting my resources towards, as you lot seem to have politics here in the region where I am.
Indeed.
To each their strengths, I suppose.
Indeed. If there is nothing else, I will take my leave.
What do you think you can accomplish? This is only one series.
Well, as you know, my sire has become rather integrated to the court. I will speak with him and suggest that he back the float and back the proposal that this trade dispute is servicing no one in the third party who is seemingly neutral should be put. I promise nothing.
Of course.
But it cannot hurt.
There is. Yulian kind of bites his tongue and looks around. He looks over at the two Bruja. Gentlemen, if you wouldn't mind, I have some questions for our Tremere friends of a more esoteric nature. I don't bog this meeting down with this business meeting down with these questions. Wyatt and Marcus look at each other, nod, strap their swords back on. you hear the other carriage kind of thunder off. After they're gone, Yulian actually stands in the doorway and watches the carriage leave.
I quietly draw a magic arrow out.
Okay. Yes. Can you do me a favor and switch me one of those chairs that isn't squeaky for this one? Because, dear God. Thank you. There are times where it's like you're 6 years old. You know that?
No.
What are you talking about?
And then there's times when it's like you're fine.
He watches the carriage leave, closes the door, and exhales. He gets a little paler, almost. I do not wish any disrespect. My attentions are focused. My attentions are focused out to the east. I take it for granted that my city will be quiet when I'm paying attention there. I know that your family controls a small abbey here in Colmar, and that it's been made very clear that that belongs to you. Others will not accost you there.
Yes.
Recently, an old cathedral on the outskirts of Stuttgart went silent. The monks and priests there simply stopped coming into town. And now there are new faces that I don't recognize. If your family has decided to expand into Stuttgart, this is not necessarily a problem, but I do need to know about it. This could just be a mortal issue, and I'm not asking any of you to come and investigate, certainly. But before I send my people in to investigate, I want to make sure that I'm not causing an incident, much like the last time incidents were caused.
Of course. I will if you'll excuse me, I'll cast communicate with Kendra Sire.
It's going to take you about 10 minutes.
That's fine.
Okay. You just walk over into the corner and start muttering to yourself and casting dust in the air.
Yeah.
Alright, make your roll.
So, yeah, while they're doing, I guess I'll just small chat Yulian, I guess.
He's not good at small.
Plus one dice because of talisman.
Well, we're probably going to be out of... You don't want to see you casting, do you?
Why
one?
He doesn't know Salamander. He's not going to learn that fight.
I'm just standing in the corner muttering. Like, he's not going to pick something up here.
But you got to do gestures and stuff, right?
Yeah.
You can report to Andretti about it later. Maybe you get a promotion. But,
he's still... Yeah, I'll go whisper in his ear, I guess. He'd say he's still Shamase. We should probably take this out of eyesight.
I believe the Shamase are aware that we have magic.
As you wish.
That's a lot of successes.
So, yeah, while he's casting out. So tell me about your mortal life.
No.
Very well.
And I'm just aiming.
Okay. We'll assume you have full aim back. You're just sitting there waiting. Okay.
I'd still love to kill you.
I'm not saying no. I'm just saying not right now.
But maybe in a moment.
So he just says no. And...
Yep. And then
Marius just sits there and looks at him.
Continues to look back. Doesn't seem too.
So I just ask Andretti quickly if he knows anything of this cathedral.
This is the first that I've heard of it, though someone obviously in our clan is not the only to realize that there's a captive audience inside a cathedral that you can take as a herd. It's an interesting side note, but I don't know if it's anything important. I'll obviously ask up the chain. See what we can find out.
Thank you.
Connection snaps.
Turn around. As far as this branch of our family is concerned, we have nothing to do with that cathedral. Of course, there are many branches of our family. We will investigate further, but I would be surprised if someone was operating that close to us without our prior knowledge. That would be up.
I'll send my people in to investigate then.
Do let me know.
No, I will do so.
I boil his blood.
He seems to like it. Creepy, shall I say.
If there's nothing else, then.
No.
You GTFO?
Alright, you guys head your butts back. What you getting up to? Oh, you wanted to talk to Chaucy.
Oh, yeah. I guess I'll just talk to him later when we get back to the Chantry. Ask him what he knew. And tell him why I wanted him. Tell him that I have this nagging suspicion that I know him from somewhere. But other than that...
Says his name's Toby and that he's a drover out of Colmar. Sometimes he gets hired by the... He called them the brothers. Those two beefy-looking guys who came walking back out. Says he gets hired occasionally by them to drive them around because he doesn't ask questions. So he just doesn't ask a lot of questions and seems really nervous. I don't think he's like, you know, like me. Or like Ludovic. He's just...
Good.
Some guy.
That's what I was curious about.
Probably good at cloaks, then.
Yeah.
What's that?
Probably good at cloaks, then.
Yes.
Holy shit, what is that?
By the way, unless you've pushed him off, Chaucy has made an effort to communicate with you. He had the initial, oh god, what is that thing reaction the first time he saw you, but since then he was told, like, he's not going to hurt you. This is a person. His name is Lamont. He's come up a few times. Mr. Lamont, how are you doing?
He's in my family now.
Yeah, he asks a lot about how your wings work. He seems very fascinated with the biology of it, not that you're aware of the term biology, much less what it means, but no, does it strain you? Does it hurt you? Do they get sore? Can you take off for me right now? Can I watch? Can I draw that? He likes to take sketches, specifically the musculature around your wings.
Draw me like one of your French girls.
I want to draw that picture now.
Somebody.
What's that?
Somebody will.
Yes, anybody listening to this who has a decent hand at art, please draw the furry panther-like gargoyle of Lamont.
all trussed up like what's her face from Titanic.
Titanic. I guess then we'll find out the issue of how many teats he actually has.
Six, just like any other animal.
Oh.
All animals have six teats. You heard it here first.
Okay.
Yeah? You got six. I want to see that.
I do.
But I do. I'm very curious now.
Please vote no. It's not me.
I abstain.
All right.
So, we go back to the chantry?
Yep. You guys return to the chantry with Heddens.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Has Andretti been coming home today?
Yes. He stays at the chantry.
Yeah. So I wait for him to show up.
He'll come in later in the evening.
Sure. I will actually have left word with Marcus that with the Master Reader, I should be something.
Okay. When you return before Andretti gets there, Lawrence will come and find you.
Sure.
Says, Francis Wolfgang, one of the monks made me aware of your return. We had an interesting delivery this evening.
Yes.
It, well, here. Out of his robe, he produces a wax-sealed scroll case. You recognize that a ritual has been cast on it, because as you look at it, there's incomprehensible glyphs written on the outside of it that swim in your vision.
Sure.
And rearrange themselves into legible letters that say, to the apprentices of the St. Giles Chantry. I didn't open it because the regent is unaware of this, but it's not addressed to him.
Regardless of the regent's knowledge, it is well promised to me. That said, let us see what the mail says.
I couldn't agree more.
And I opened the scroll.
All right.
And I pointed at Lawrence.
Pop. As it opens, nothing happens. There's, in fact, just a rolled up.
Not the Ark of the Covenant.
It's the scroll case.
And I am now number two again. Dang it.
There you go.
Yeah, one of those new guys, the lazy ones.
I'm going to make a monk as the third circle apprentice.
Not even brace him or gold at first. Hell, make one of the Toreador a third circle apprentice.
Sure.
That's it.
I'm bringing Julian into the fold. That's why I was casting in front of him.
Yeah. Getting used to it.
Hey. That's my mail set.
It's a thick wrap of parchments. The first one is written in a very careful spider hand. And says, while innovation continues to the east, know that we have not forgotten our blood to the west. May these find use in your home. And it is signed, you're not sure if it's the signature of Goratrix himself or someone working for him, because it just says House Goratrix. Not that you were aware that there were any sub-houses within the Tremere.
Sure.
But signed by the House of Goratrix. Leafing through, there's a couple of rituals in here that you've never seen before. They're first level, so they're simple enough. One appears to allow you to reactivate at least some aspect of yourself when you were alive, like your fingernails can grow, you can make your hair grow, you can reactivate sexual function for an evening. Just any one thing that you can do as a human, you can do again now.
Isn't it like Domino of Life?
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry. This one specifically lets you
permanently do it?
No, it's not permanent. I got him reversed. This one specifically allows you to regrow your hair to any length, or fingernails, or what have you. So it's just a specific little thing. Domino of Life lets it return at a normal rate. This one, you cast the ritual, and you can go from bald to ponytail, if you want to.
Or ponytail
so
to bald?
Stuck in the bad hair day you had whenever you were embraced.
Correct. Yeah.
Candy.
And the other one seems way more useful than the first one. First one, like, all right, so here's the green beans, and then here's the cake.
What is cake and green beans?
people who want cake and have to eat their green beans first. Were you never told by your parents you have to eat your vegetables before you have dessert?
Yeah, but there was usually also a potato and a steak or something.
Yeah, like there was an actual entree.
I was never given a bowl of green beans.
And then you could have cake. I think your parents may have been running some Survivor crap on you.
It's worked out really well. In any case, fuck you for hating my metaphor. This ritual is multi-purpose. If you cast it on a mortal, you can watch their dreams. If you cast it on a vampire in torpor, or the ashes or corpse of a dead vampire, you will get an image of the last few moments before they entered torpor or before they were killed. In theory, it can be used on a mortal body to do the same thing, but you're not sure. You're reading between the lines to figure that. It doesn't specifically and explicitly say that you can do that, so it may be more difficult to try and pull that one off.
Well, if only there was a way I could test that.
Nope, doesn't work.
Summon me a monk.
All I get are images of Lamont scratching his six teeth and looking at me soulfully. Weird. Anyway. Sometimes you swear there's a little bit of hair in your mouth when you wake up in the morning and someone's been whispering the word suckle to you, but...
You somehow made this relationship creepy. It's just chemically induced parentage of immortal undead creatures.
That's just true. Motherly instincts taking over.
Lawrence,
leaf through them, figure out what they are.
Yeah, Lawrence is looking over your shoulder as you do so.
Please inscribe these into the library. So they are preserved well.
Very good.
That second is quite interesting. I might need to come study that a little further.
You and I both, sir.
Fortunately, I'm happy with my hair.
He ruffles through his short, ill-cut hair.
Right. Is there anything else this evening, Richard?
So, there should be their own
spinner. That's all I had, sir. How is your research project coming along?
The child seems more sapient than one would expect of a newborn. When he listens, it seems almost that he comprehends. Something that should be beyond a child of his years. Time will tell.
Less than half of one. Beyond his years.
Yes. I'm going to assume that you're not in the room, or are you in the room making commentary on the statement?
No, he's just snarking at your inability to do math.
I'm going to go visit my nephew.
Of course you are.
I sit around away from ready to show back up.
Okay.
Polishing my talisman.
Giggity. All right. Lamont heads out to the cottage. Okay. It's quiet. After a few moments, Maria opens the door, rolling asleep out of one eye. Yes, Lamont?
I can sleep at night. Why? Hello.
Good evening. Please come in. She invites you in.
Sleeping?
Yes.
I thought you would stay up at night.
I sleep whenever he sleeps.
Oh, so he's asleep right now.
Yes. She looks over to the crib. I mean, it's a small cottage. It's just a crib that he's in. So.
I go crane in and look down. And
he's passed out.
I found my goggles.
Breathing quietly.
He looks very peaceful.
Yes. She's looking down at me with this little half smile. He's such a good baby. He barely ever cries at night. Doesn't seem to have any nightmares, bad dreams.
I wish my pigs were so docile.
Having trouble with them?
No, but little piglets squeal and run around all the time.
I guess they're just animals.
I'm sure he'll have his years of squealing and running around when he gets older. Little boys are very hard to keep control of.
Did you have brothers?
Yes. Older and younger. Did you?
Well, I have three mates.
When they were first born, made, whatever the term is for people like you and the others in the building, is there a period where you are like children again?
We need to be taught what we are and how it works. But in terms of not being able to walk around or use our wings, there's an adjustment. Obviously, I was never a baby, so I can't compare it to that.
I suppose not. How was your evening?
Fun adventure. We went out to a political meeting. They talked for a while.
I don't understand why your kind is so interested in politics.
I don't know why we don't just stay here and protect our own.
I imagine if you asked any of the others about that, they'd have some very direct explanations of going out and interacting with the others ensures that the others aren't going to come here and attempt to hurt anyone, or if they did, you'd have a better warning of the situation. But I think you get lonely. I think your kind aches to interact with others. It's difficult to interact with people like me.
I've got my whole family.
Maybe for the others, then.
Yes.
Speaking of protection, I know that you don't agree, but I think it really would be better if you moved into the building to keep watch over you.
I am not comfortable with all those men in there. I don't like the uncomfortable glances they give me, and I think I would receive too many complaints when his diaper needs changing and he can't sleep. And especially as he gets older, I want them complaining that things are disappearing or him spilling ink over books that they're scribing or what have you. Mother needs her own space with her child. Can you imagine what they would do if they come breastfeeding in the main hall?
Perfectly natural. You're a mother. That's what they do.
Tell that to the men with the vow of chastity in that building.
In that case, draw a card.
Strange creatures.
Yes, they are.
Not that I thought very much of him, but did you ever consider the boy's father?
Consider what?
Involving him? I haven't seen him since our awkward little incident.
No. I don't think he would handle the reality of the situation very well. Besides, there's no room in my life for a man other than Lawrence. Master Lawrence, she says, catching herself.
There's one person in there.
You have plenty of others. You have brothers and friends. Godly, look out.
I haven't seen my brothers in years. They're a world away.
We're brothers. I'm your brother. You're my sister.
I know you see things that way. I don't know that the rest of these people do. I am Lawrence's servant. He has claimed me. The same way that Wolfgang claimed Ludovic and Master Andretti claimed his two servants. I am his to look out for, and he is mine to care for.
do not like that.
There are times where I wonder what happens next. I don't see myself doing this forever. But I have an answer now. And she kind of thoughtfully reaches down and caresses the head of her sleeping child. I have something to do other than write books for him on this issue.
He isn't upset about Magnus dividing your attention?
He seems very content. I think he truly wouldn't know what to do with Magnus if I wasn't here to look after him.
But there wouldn't be a Magnus if you weren't here to look after him.
Very true.
I will let you catch sleep where you can.
Thank you. She lets you out. After a few minutes, you see the candle go out. And after about another hour or two, Andretti will come thundering back up in his carriage. By the way, if it wasn't made clear before, another carriage was procured. Yeah. Not a swank one, but Andretti's. Good talk.
But Ludovic spends a lot of time making it swank.
He's not very good at that, but sure.
Fortunately, I'm a patient man.
And one day he will be a master carriage pimper.
That's right. That's right. So yeah, I go talk to the boss.
Yep. You go find Andretti, who's, you'll find him downstairs, and he'll kind of setting himself up for the night. Good evening, apprentice.
Good evening, master. How was court?
It was, as it usually is, petty discussions and disputes, complaints of toes being stepped on. There was some
disagreements over trade.
That does seem to preoccupy the time of at least a few of our court members. Thankfully, there was little complaint this evening specifically, though there was some speculation as to where the Bruja had gone.
They were meeting with Julian and myself.
Regarding?
Julian has a crazy scheme, which involves Wyatt being put forth as the, what did he say, master of trade?
Arbiter
of trade. Some silly thing. And Julian was convinced that by simply stepping forth and claiming the title, that the court would look upon Wyatt as a savior in this matter. And Wyatt would be able to exert power over the Toreador and the Ventru, while also moving goods that he cannot currently move out of town due to petty guild disputes. Whereas, I think Julian is an idiot.
Yes.
And Wyatt agrees that clearly simply stepping forth and claiming the domain would be unwise. I did wonder if in your newly found position of power, you thought you might be able to float this suggestion, because whereas I think Julian is an idiot, I think that even a blind squirrel finds a nut now and then, and there is value in the overall thrust of his suggestion.
I think that Julian is unused to playing subtle politics, and everything is a nail that must be bashed in with a hammer.
Julian does not know the word subtle.
You are likely correct. Do you think this Wyatt would bring some benefit to the Tremere in this position? I understand Julian's adherence to this theory that the assassins are coming and they'll destroy us all.
Yes, of course. I think the benefit that we might take is in further cementing your position as a trusted advisor and in ensuring that at least in this matter, neither the Ventru nor the Toreador gain power over the other.
Despite what's being loudly claimed
frequently in court when Molinelli brings up his complaints that unless this shipment is allowed to leave on time, clearly this is a Venture-controlled city and the Toreador are second-class citizens here. And then the posturing by the Venture Court saying this, of course, is an open city and any clan is welcome here. This is a Venture city.
Of course.
And Montiford does have control of trade in and out of the city as much as he can scrabble to it. The problem is that he and Molinelli are evenly matched with each other. They are equal in their acumen among the mortals. So they're coming to odds. I think going to the court and merely suggesting that a third party be brought in won't be looked upon with much interest, because the court doesn't see any reason to change the current system. Them complaining loudly in court doesn't change anything, and the system remains status quo.
This is why I wished to discuss it with you, because I felt there was likely other information that you might have.
I think the prince draws some benefit in having these two at each other's throats. Keeps both of them from her throat.
Very well.
Having someone in our pocket who has domain over trade in the city, trade into and out of this city, could be very beneficial.
And if we installed him there, he would certainly be indebted to us.
Correct. But the only way we could make that happen is by swooping in after an independent demonstration of why neither of these two are best suited for the position were to happen. A situation would need to be engineered.
Proof that one was unfairly blocking the other, or even better, blocking the other and then stealing the trade for themselves.
It's expected that there's going to be graft in the system. We don't follow the same rules that humans do.
Certainly.
What we would have to show is that their conflict with each other was damaging to the city as a whole, and that neither one would do better than the other if they had control.
That seems a far more challenging measure.
Yes.
Offhand, I can think of nothing that meets that bill. But I will study on it. If you have counsel, I welcome it.
Give it some thought. I certainly can request items of trade into or out of the city from both of them. We can create a situation, but playing it up to our advantage will be the difficult part.
Indeed.
Possibly something dangerous being brought into the city, especially if they are both contracted to smuggle something dangerous in, and then it causes a problem.
Yes.
Was there anything else, Prentice?
No, not this evening. Thank you. Anything for me?
He does not.
Alright. I go to bed.
Alright, the scrolls. Wasn't addressed to Andretti.
Okay. It's been a long evening. It's not an
Okay.
You go to bed?
Yeah.
Anybody else doing anything this evening?
Nope.
What would you guys like to get up to next?
I hope we investigate that cathedral.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Henry? That's in Yulian's territory.
It sure is.
Heavens, he might show up and say, what are you doing in my territory? You have to get out. And then
this guy gets
the gargoyle can just shoot him full of death arrows of doom.
Yeah, you want to go pay a visit to Yulian?
No, probably not.
Huh. I wonder what Yulian's up to.
You ain't proud?
What's that?
You're not proud.
No. By the way, you guys need to finish those Girl Scout cookies, if they're not done already.
It is updated, and
Amy demanded it.
Those are terrible. Yeah.
Samoas.
People either love or hate Samoas. There's no middle ground.
Coconut is terrible.
I agree with you. It's a devil's food.
No, I like devil's
food. I will fulfill my obligation.
I'm kind of curious what Julian's doing. I'll scry on him using his practice sword that we have.
Sure.
I think I'll watch him. I'll let my ghoul watch, too. Show him a neat trick.
Mm-hmm. He is absolutely fascinated by your neat trick. Go ahead and make your scry roll. It's a level what ritual?
Four.
Four? So diff seven.
Plus the die.
Again, plus a cult.
Nope. Plus my sword. One. You said seven, right?
Mm-hmm.
Two. Three. Three successes.
Okay.
The
water clouds and swirls, and in the whirlpool, as the whirlpool stills to complete stillness, you see Julian appear in a very familiar hall in Stuttgart, Sorn's castle's hall, sitting on Sorn's throne. With a handful of people in front of him. They're not standing at attention, but they're clearly standing, taking orders from him. While he's sitting there discussing things with them, and then he stands up and begins to pace. He's gesturing and pointing. They continue to discuss back and forth for a few minutes, and then finally he sits down and grips the sides of the throne and stares at them for a moment in silence. And all three of the men just stand up with their hand over their heart, salute, bow, and turn on knee.
Or yeah, I'll just keep watch by. Until the ritual rolls out, okay. Or until I get interrupted by...
For the next hour, he just sits there, kind of staring off into space, and takes a deep breath, stands up, walks out of the throne room, down through some passageways, through some other passageways, down into the cellars, down past the cellars into the dungeons, into a room, basically a prison hall with a whole bunch of cells in it. Each of the cells is occupied, maybe 10, 12 people total, one each in their own cell. And just walks up to one of them, pulls a key off of his belt, unlocks it, walks in. There's an older man who is chained to a wall. He's hanging there. You think he begins to cry. Not like scream, but just weep when Julian walks in. Julian runs a finger across his mouth, and his mouth seals shut. And he unhooks him. The man collapses onto the floor. And Julian just begins experimenting on him. He lays the man out spread eagle and opens his body. His chest cavity just peels back open. It doesn't look like it hurts. I mean, the man looks terrified. He doesn't look in pain. And you can see the exposed heart beating. You can see his lungs drawing breath. You can see his organs twitch. There's no blood pooling. He hasn't broken any vessels.
Wait, the lungs are working and the chest cavity is exposed?
Yeah, he has cracked this man's chest open. The lungs are still in their sac, so they still have negative buoyancy. But they're breathing. He's watching them. He's watching them breathe, and he's watching the organs work. And he just begins...
Okay.
Playing is the wrong word, because he doesn't seem to be deriving any pleasure from it. But he is, you know, elbow deep in this guy, looking at how his organs work.
Hmm.
And your ritual runs out while he's in the middle of doing that.
Did I just let it be? So, what'd you think?
Chauncey's just like...
That is
that thing's a monster.
That is Julian. And being talking about the ancient feud of our two clans. Yeah, with both of them.
You should just wipe them out. That's unholy. I mean, I understand you're blood drinking monsters in the night, but that's wrong.
Yes.
Why was he doing that? What was the purpose?
This is part of one of their disciplines, and I've been explaining a little bit about that I know about it.
Sure, I understand that they have a power that allows them to do that.
Ah.
Why are they doing that? Just as you've explained that you have a power that allows you to give orders to people and they follow it. I mean, just because you can do that doesn't mean you walk out to the brothel every night and say, stab yourself or cut your finger off or something like that.
Correct.
Why would someone do those things?
That brings to question ethics. But interesting, I do have another sword. Shall we look at another one of them? I grab Andraj's sword. Remember, we grabbed his sword?
I'm trying to remember, did you guys return Andraj?
We returned him to sword.
Oh, that's right, you returned him to sword.
And I haven't looked in on him, and I'm curious.
Sure.
So I cast it on him. I'm kind of curious.
Sure.
See what happens. One.
As Evan says, please box shut off to make this up. Please box shut off to make this up.
Well, cocked. Should I re-roll that one?
Yeah.
One success.
Okay. The, liquid swirls, clouds, stills, and clears. And there is an image of this horrible gray-skinned monstrosity with long, ropey hair, this wedge-shaped head, and this distended jaw filled with spiky teeth.
I'll describe it as a Zolo or whatever it is.
You see it kind of on a muddy field, and it backs up and rears up on its hind legs, holding its claws out, and is slammed into by another one of these creatures. And they just begin. They don't look like they're like tearing each other limb from limb, but they are struggling with each other. You see them rend at each other and claw and bite and drag. And eventually, the one that you're focused on gets the other one into hold is really the wrong word. He gets it pinned, and then it bites its neck and doesn't tear, but it bites its neck until the other one all of its appendages start to shake and its head starts to shake, and then they both. Something happens outside of your scrying window, and they both stop and look in that direction, and both quiver and shrink and shrivel in on themselves until they're two men standing there in clothing that was not there before, but just like loose, high-quality silks and leathers.
Mm-hmm.
And then Andraj helps the other one up off the ground. Who does not look happy accepting the assistance, and a third figure walks on. You don't recognize the third figure. It's not discernibly male or female. It's entirely hairless. Its skin is perfect. Both sides of its face are symmetrical to one another, which you can't, your character doesn't understand necessarily the concept of symmetry, but it looks off. Its face looks entirely off. It's too perfect. You experience what is these days called the uncanny valley. I mean, you're looking at something that isn't human, but is moving like a human, and it's very, very weird. It is unearthly beautiful. It's dressed in these leathers, long leather robes and skirts, and it's got this, like, chest plate that appears to be made out of bone with leather stretched over it, all blackened. And it walks up with these long fingers. You note that it's got an extra joint on each hand. And each finger has an extra joint that walks up with its fingers steepled to the two of them and begins quietly talking, and they afford it a lot of respect. They both immediately snap to attention and just listen as it talks to them, and it begins gesturing and making suggestions of some sort, and then everything fades out.
Very interesting. I explained who Andraj is to Chauncey.
Who was that? What was that thing? Was that an angel?
No, I believe that was an elder of the Shamasay of some sort. Other than that,
it looked perfect. It looked sculpted.
It did. Perhaps I should ask Master Angel. No, I'll ask Celestine later.
Does he know about your relationship with Celestine? Chaucy, does he know about your relationship with Celestine?
I guess I'll start telling them about my relationship.
With Celestine!
Yeah. I'll explain to them that there's a hierarchy and...
Okay.
And you're going around it.
Yeah, and how I'm kind of...
There's a hierarchy, and I'm important to someone high up in the hierarchy. I'm more important than these people.
She is my mentor, yes. So.
That's how I made it all the way to the second circle.
No.
That is
why I will explain my frustrations about that.
Yes. He's bloodbound to you, so when you say that other people have messed with you and stolen your right to something, he's like, those jerks. You want me to go say something mean about them?
No, I assume
that you're attempting to teach him some kind of martial skill.
Yes.
He's not picking up much, but he tries.
That's all right.
God bless.
Yeah, and I'll take the time to introduce him to Cristobal and stuff, too.
Sure.
Yeah.
He doesn't spend a lot of time talking to these guys, especially Marcus.
I straight up tell him Marcus is kind of creepy. His passions include torture.
Dude, make this stop. That's, you know,
You'd get along well with that Yulian guy.
Yes, quite. But yeah, that's why I spend the...
What's that?
Shields up, Captain.
So items are important. And each item, and then I'll start explaining how I can talk to items.
Okay.
Yeah.
He expresses a lot more interest in that than when you talk about, like, and this is the appropriate way to gut a man with a single swing.
Yes.
You start talking about magical principles. He really walks in on that.
Yep.
Be careful. If you teach him too much, you might outrank you soon.
Yeah. Nope. So that's what I spend my time doing.
Like bracing directly
and circle. how I would appreciate to be able to potentially get items from other of canites. So we could do this.
If there's ever anything I can do to help, let me know.
Well, if you ever get the opportunity and won't ever be caught.
I stay here with you. Do you mean other Tremere?
No, okay. That might cause complications in the hierarchy.
Okay.
I stir enough as it is with the Celestine issue.
But if I happen to run into any other vampires, not that I go out and hang out with other vampires a lot.
Hey. Well, I am going to want you to know more about the politics of this region. Let's go see... So I go out with him then. Okay. I'll go to the Rosenhammer, and if I happen to see any, I'll tell them who they are, but not interact with them.
Sure.
Yeah. Point them out.
Are either of you two getting up to anything else? He goes and has a lesson in vampire politics.
I'd sit up in my belfry and scry.
Okay.
So unless there's something happening,
you scry on them scrying.
Okay.
Yeah.
They sure are scrying.
Yeah. I don't think you can actually get the scry that they are having. You just know that they're doing something around a bowl.
Yeah.
You know what they are doing. You know what's going on with them. You don't know what's going on with this magical thing that they're doing elsewhere.
And if the person they're scrying on was scrying?
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. Yeah. You have to go deeper.
Yeah, and before the end of the evening, I guess I'll connect to Celestine and ask her about that angelic figure.
Okay.
What she knows about that.
Sure, we'll get to that in a couple minutes. There's not too much else going on. The new apprentices are locked in study. They're pouring through ritual books. They spend a lot of time with each other, trying things out. they don't seem to have any sort of passion in their relationship, but they do seem close. They seem like friends.
Okay. They're married.
Yeah, there's no more passion. They're married.
Mm.
But they're attempting rituals and things like that with not a lot of success. They are very young. And Lawrence is writing a book and apparently arguing with that little sack boy that he has as a homunculus.
He's arguing with his sack boy. Spends far too much time arguing with his sack.
Probably. You will respect my authority.
You have to smack yours around.
Arguing.
Oh, yeah, thanks. I'm going to be haunted by that image.
Wait till you read your email.
Oh,
do I need to check my email? Oh, God, why would you send me that?
Wow.
Is Wolfgang getting up to anything?
I don't think so. Wolfgang is locked in deep meditation trying to figure out how he can manipulate Julian into doing what he wants, by which I mean I actually have no idea what I want Julian to do.
Okay.
So, I'm just sitting here reading blood contract and deciding how I can...
Fair enough.
...influence people.
So... Stepping out for a moment, I'm attempting to do what we discussed last time we talked, which is create an environment where there are things that you can look into if you want, but there's not a lot of, you have to go do this course now.
You were doing the right thing.
Okay.
Not entirely certain.
I know. It was specifically the thing that I was concerned about, that I would present you guys basically a small banquet of different things to try from, and you guys would stand with empty plates looking at it, not quite sure what to do.
What are we going to go check out? Church.
I want to check out the cathedral, but I honestly can't think of an in-character reason why we would. It's just something I want to do.
Sure. You are personally curious about it.
Yes. And I think it plays more into my skill set than negotiations.
Yes. Your job is most certainly not negotiations.
Negotiations of a different type, perhaps.
Aggressive negotiations?
Yes.
Negotiations with a lightsaber?
Yes, yes.
Gargoyle with a lightsaber.
This year on CW.
Gargoyle with a lightsaber.
What can we do? We can try and incite a trade riot, which is also a gargoyle with a lightsaber. We can go screw up the cathedral. What else can we do?
Go kill some Torridor.
Well, yes, we could do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to scope this to reasonable possibilities.
Okay.
Like, we could go kill some Ventru. Also not a great idea.
No.
I could kill you. Getting warmer. what else? What other quests do we have? I'm looking at you guys.
Somebody tells Lamont what Lawrence is up to. He frenzies and kills him.
Not a bad idea.
That's right up there with killing the Toreador. There are no bad ideas, just dumb ones.
So, in addition to the couple of specific hooks that I've put in front of you as things that you can go and do for other people, you have a world of opportunities for things that you guys can do for yourselves. Sure. Like, you can send Lamont out to look for, to patrol the area for unacknowledged vampires skirting around the edge of the city. You could send him to Colmar. You could send him to Stuttgart and say, bring me Julian Staked. I mean,
sure.
You could decide that you guys want to take over some particular aspect of something happening in the city and begin machinations on that end. You could go hang out in Elysium. You could go try and bloodbond the prince.
I think she's one step bloodbond to Pierce.
Pierce, she's absolutely one step bloodbond.
Every once in a while, she just thinks, whatever happened to that guy?
Yeah.
We do have some of Pierce's blood on file here. Uh-huh. We could do a two-step tour to Pierce.
And a one-step.
That would be good, huh? Where is that Pierce guy?
I mean, you have enough of his blood on file here that you could give her a little bit of that, and then a few nights later give her a third one, and then just lock her in.
She'd be like, where is my love?
There was a vampire here. Years ago, his name was Pierce. Bring him to me.
For about a month.
It was summer. It was lovely.
Speaking of blood,
what do you guys want
to do? Where is that located?
Killing Toreador.
Andretti has Pierce's blood. If there's any still left in the chantry, Andretti has it.
Have they moved Cialis yet?
Seattle. Yeah.
You don't know. It's only been a year. You imagine. You grew up in Seattle, or you were embraced in Seattle.
Sure.
You imagine that it's going to take more than a year to get everything out of that place.
I don't know. What do you guys think?
I think Cathedral. Both because it's cool, and then we would know something that.
Plus, we could also use the justification of helping us get closer to Julian.
Yeah.
Bring him more under control.
Or find out what's going on in his city, because he doesn't seem to know.
Yeah, he's... Yeah, so, I don't want to tell him.
So, this is all the same night, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
Right, so, where were you scrying on Julian?
In my room.
Where was he? Do you have any idea?
In Stuttgart.
So he made it
in the throne room.
Two and a half days back to Stuttgart in the same night?
The last night.
Okay.
He has a fast mean. You gotta remember, he's got those horse guys, remember?
Or he just...
This wasn't the very next night. This was like two nights later. I'm a little less worried about night-by-night progression.
Okay.
Now that you guys are not specifically fighting against Julian to incite a civil war
in
the area, I'm kind of playing a little bit looser with time. So no, this is three or four nights later.
Probably.
And also, you guys are home and you don't have to worry about blood expenditures.
Yeah.
So...
There just doesn't seem to be a good reason to...
Marius is going out then. He's trying to point out all the other kindred to his ghoul.
Yeah. Yep.
Like where they are, who they are.
Sure.
Yeah.
If you guys want to take some time to think about other things to do, or just Nick, if you want to take some time to convince Bill that this is a good idea, I'll deal with the shenanigans that Marius is going to get up to.
This is an excellent thing.
Done. Stamped. You'll take him out to the Hammer and Rose.
Yep.
You'll see LaSalle.
Her.
wandering around. She sees you and makes an effort to, you know, to, you've met with her before, but she comes and welcomes you in, asks if there's anything you need. She seems fairly all right with other vampires coming in here and feeding. She's very, very opposite of Brigitte, who is like, you know, I want you to tell me before you even show up in my territory. Lacelle is like, I'm honored to have you here. It's very nice to see you, Brother Marius. Please come in.
Thank you. Yes, I'd like probably one for tonight.
It's a troll.
Very good. You get special rates, but you still have to pay.
Sure.
So, but it's very well understood that you're feeding here. So.
Yeah. So and I'll take aside and tell him that blah blah blah. And,
this is Lacelle. She seems to have some sort of
control over the.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
You go up and feed.
Yep, go up and feed.
When you come back down, Chaucy isn't there.
Okay.
And after 15, 20 more minutes, he's still not there. I'm assuming at this point you start asking around.
Yeah.
Evidently, he's gone up to a room with another girl.
Oh, okay.
But he'll come back down
sure.
a while later. And as you two are leaving, he'll say, I got a chance to really talk to her. And it sounds like the whores they're very happy with her, with the Lacelles, Margaine, pointing out to me. A lot of them are learning how to read, but only if they want to. They're being offered the opportunity to learn how to read. Some of the ones who fall sick miraculously get better with everything that you've told me. I think we can put two and two together as to what's happening there. But more than that, a lot of them had men who they would pay to their escorts or their protectors, they called them, who were very abusive and took most of the money that they made, treated them very badly. The ones who are still left all work directly for Madame Morgaine. And they treat their women very well.
Lucelle is Madame Morgan.
Yeah, her name is Morgan. So even though a lot of these brothels are independent, they're still just streetwalking prostitutes. Any of the ones that were part of any sort of organized group are all kind of quietly under her control.
Be wary of those, the Toradors.
Yeah.
But for explaining to him the power of presence.
No, they can look you in the eye and make you love them.
No, I'll tell him that. Yes,
he is concerned when you explain that.
Yeah, it would be an
control over the emotions of others is unnatural. That's bizarre.
It is perhaps even more powerful than the dominate power. In some ways, because they want to.
You want to help him as opposed to be
insidious. Yeah, and I'll explain to him how the power's been used against me and how it's felt.
Okay.
Yeah. Good learning opportunity.
Craft us.
Then I'll go try to... Oh, who else is in the city? Bruja?
He could make us hollow chalices.
Ventrue.
Bruja and the Ventrue are the other big clans in the city.
Perhaps we should go to Mulhouse one night.
And just engage the three of us and transfer him to lunch.
You wouldn't happen. No. Yeah, so we're retired.
Okay.
But then,
I might just be able to sneak in and put blood in them.
Yeah, it seems.
Or perhaps I should just take them to Elysium one day and point them out as they're all approaching. Or, I'll try that. Yeah.
So if we blood bond them to the end, we can then sign a blood contract or something.
Or whatever.
Well, like that seems like.
So what do you guys?
Whatever this conversation is, I'm excited to be part of.
We're
actually just talking about killing you. So
I'm super excited to be part of this.
Let's hear it. This is a good plan.
Our current plan of action involves blood bonding the princess.
Yeah,
that's an excellent idea. I like that.
Worked out well for you last time.
Yeah, that's happening.
Do we need to go to Mulhouse?
Well, so I was thinking we should see what sort of, you know. Seems like princes drink from chalices.
Yes.
Seems like we are about to have a silversmith under our thumb.
Yes.
Seems like...
Perhaps one with reservoirs.
Hollow chalice.
something ornate and gaudy-ish to make up for that void of space. Very interesting.
Yeah. I mean, we can just present them as gifts.
Exactly.
There you go.
And what would you do afterwards with the chalice? Once it's given to them as a gift, it would become very awkward for them to all of a sudden other people being blood bonded as the chalice is just passed around and carried. And surely they would notice the twinge of chill from the lesser potent blood to the more potent blood, assuming that they're of lower generation than ourselves. Because that's going to give them a sense of that something's not quite right.
And then we tell them that those terrible fucking Gruha have betrayed them.
To distract them from that chilling feeling.
No. You know, the chilling feeling. What do you mean? What is up with this chalice? Well, Wyatt made it. Because they don't know who they're bloodbound to. The only people who could tell them that are, oh wait, us.
Interesting.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, if I'm misunderstanding the system in some critical way...
We might want to try it on the lesser kindred to see how well it goes as a test run before we go and attempt the princes.
System-wise, at one point, they're probably not even aware that they're bloodbound to anybody.
Right.
Yeah. At 2 points, if they understand how blood bonds work, so if they're elder vampires and they have more of an understanding of that process, they will probably put 2 and 2 together.
Sure.
Yeah.
On that. Especially because creatures at that level, in terms of dice pools, you're talking about, like, more than 10 dice to notice occult things and things like that if they have the right disciplines and the right knowledges. So, blood bonding is solving problems with a hammer.
Yeah.
It is not subterfuge.
That's how we solve a problem
best. That's true. I mean, look at that problem that you solved with the hammer.
Right? It's going super good.
Yep.
Yeah.
Do they have an approximate time frame that they're thinking they're releasing D&D 5?
Not anything they've expressed to me.
Okay. Because we have new players that just finished looking up all the D&D 4 stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're like, oh, but now we're supposed to learn 5. And so I was trying to give them kind of a guess. A year, 2 years, 4 years?
Next year, I
bet. Probably next year. Maybe the year after. Okay. Probably not this year.
When's Gen Con, man?
August.
August. I bet it's August next year.
Yeah, Gen Con next year. Yeah, Gen Con next year seems likely. Gen Con this year seems very unlikely based on the playtest that we're playing.
Gen Con this year, they will announce that they're releasing it Gen Con next year.
Okay. Okay. Yep. So 18 months, probably.
Probably, yeah.
Okay.
18 or 30.
And in the meantime, they should find 3 copies of the Never Warner Players Got a Piece. Mm-hmm.
So, solving problems with the hammer.
Because
These problems are now...
When you have a hammer, all your problems look like hammers.
Right.
Do they have to willingly sign a blood contract? I mean, yes. Can you just dominate them?
No.
Okay.
And even if I thought that might work, like, the first thing the blood contract says is the storyteller gets to decide how this really works. So.
How it's enforced, yeah.
They have to be willing participants the minute any sort of supernatural power is used to coerce them into the contract. It does not work at all, which means blood contracts specifically do not work on people who've been bloodbound well. So long as being blood, like, so long as the person who's bloodbound them is trying to get them to sign the contract, that doesn't work. But if they're signing a contract saying, I promise to do this, in exchange you'll give me back this person I'm bloodbound to, like if you're holding them hostage, that's legit. You just can't force them to sign it by way of blood.
Sure.
We need a different hammer, then.
We need a ball pin.
Presence wouldn't validate it. Dominate wouldn't validate it. That cop wouldn't validate it.
That cop would totally validate it.
Go get him, Ray.
I suggest we try it on Lesser Vampire first. To see how well it goes.
Well, if blood bonding doesn't help them get a blood contract done, I'm less interested. Because I think that's really... Like,
we need a goal here. Because we got nothing to do for the next 74 years.
Right.
So we need to set our sights on something.
Right. I agree. So, I think is a minor goal. Figuring out how to become masters of trade is interesting. Wyatt is clearly the path to doing that. What else? Like, the machinations of getting Wyatt into that spot are one thing.
Sure. I like that temple idea, though. I think we should go and do that.
Well, temple idea?
Cathedral?
Yeah. It'll help us.
Come up with any reason why we'd go do that, other than...
To help ingratiate ourselves with Julian. And perhaps
he specifically said, I'll take care of it.
And perhaps...
Showing up and...
I mean, also if anybody's going to go look into something like that, this guy specifically built the scout locations.
Right.
So that's a thing that he is capable of doing.
Yes.
You guys, not so much.
Right. So if you want to go scout that, I'm okay with that. But we're not going, because that makes no sense. Because he can get in and out relatively unseen, probably.
Though I will remind you of your last long conversation with Andretti about using him for personal matters as opposed to allowing your gargoyle to continue to guard the chantry.
Right.
Yeah.
So.
And then he wanted to go get his Senate career started.
Yeah.
So...
So you're sending a gargoyle?
Maybe. I've decided yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, do it. All right. Do it.
I leave.
Okay. I ask you to pick up a personal item if there's any vampires there for me, please.
Okay. I might pick you up some vampires. We'll see how it goes.
That works, too.
He was hoping for underwear.
I fly to Stuttgart.
Yeah.
Okay.
Superman.
We'll probably take you... You'll get there, essentially... Before dawn, just before dawn, okay. So you'll have to weather somewhere that night. Are you going to try and find somewhere out in the woods to hide yourself? Are you going to just like bust into a building? You've been to the castle before, but
yeah, that doesn't seem smart. Let's settle out in the woods and become a statue.
Okay. I think that takes
Three
how
blood.
Much blood did we decide? Yeah, there you go.
It takes all the blood.
Okay. The next day ends. Mark off another blood to wake up. And you can head out looking for this cathedral.
And I frenzy.
Alright.
I go to the cathedral.
Let's do this! You fly around for about an hour before you finally see what you think he was talking about on the northern outskirts of the city. There is a large Gothic-looking cathedral built on a hill overlooking Stuttgart. That has some lights on.
Great. I land on top.
Okay.
And then I scry it all day long.
Roll it. Or spend it, rather.
Blood.
Nope. Willpower.
Oh.
You really need
roll willpower. Your perception plus occult. To try and make sense of what you are sensing.
Dip six?
Yeah.
One success.
Okay. Alright. There are 14 humans here. There are 5 vampires here. There are 3 things. You don't know how to classify them. But they are here... They're dead, but not like vampires are dead, and they are moving in the lower levels of this place. All the vampires are congregated in the catacombs underneath this place. And there are somewhere between 3 and 8 other things that aren't physical, but they're here. They are presences that occupy this place.
Well, now I gotta go look.
They seem to be... So the humans are just kind of going about their business, doing their thing. The vampires, the 5 vampires, are down in the lower crypts, all congregated together in a single room. You think they're reading, or praying, or something. They're doing something together. They've got open books in front of them. One of those moving dead things is in the room with them. Just kind of in the corner, not actually moving, but you can sense that it's got animate force to it. The other two are wandering around the catacombs, seamlessly, seemingly aimlessly. These other things are just here. They're moving between rooms. Sometimes one will, and the reason you can't tell how many there are is one will kind of wink out here, and you think either it or something that feels a lot like it will wink back in over here in another room without crossing the intervening space, though some time will lapse between when it winks out and when it winks in. But yeah, there's some amount of these things moving around through here as well.
Alright, well I want to get down to the catacombs.
Okay. How would you like to go about doing that?
Sure. I can't do that yet.
Again. You could just start breaking down walls. The poor man, shark.
Oh, yeah!
We'll probably try to find a way in at ground level.
There are a handful of entrances to this place. I mean, it's not built to be a fortress. So.
I sneak in.
Okay.
With sneakiness.
Are you making yourself invisible?
Yeah, I think I'll do that.
You got some bloodstones on you, right?
Nope. You would have taken some.
Would I have? Yes. Nobody gave me bloodstones. Yeah, nobody tell me.
Okay. In the year that has gone by, the rule has been instated that you don't leave without bloodstones. We're retconning that.
5 points worth of bloodstones?
Yep, 5 points worth of bloodstone.
Suck them down.
And you are told to use them liberally. We have monks. We'll make more.
Yeah, okay. So you want me to roll some big piles of dice?
Yep. Sneaky, sneaky. Dex plus stealth plus the extra nonsense you get from your power.
Nonsense.
See ya.
See ya.
You got the bad guys for
one.
Try we'll see. Two.
Wait, we're
I think
the
they
bad
are the bad guys.
That's relative.
Seven.
I'm not eating brand.
All right, okay. Eight, you don't need to keep counting.
9, 10, 11, 11.
Okay. Now make me that same dex stealth roll without your superpowers added in.
But I have superpowers.
I know you do. And none of the monks here have taken notice to you. None of the monks or priests here have taken any notice to you whatsoever. You ghost in past them.
I got sodomized one if I made it notice.
Just in and out so quick. Still did
1, 2, 3, 4.
Okay, cool. Alright, you move through this place. There's one point where you stop because you can sense one of these things coming through the wall, one of these flitting things. And you, because you're still scrying, you kind of move out of the way, so in theory you're out of eyesight from it. And so you're kind of around the corner where you think it is, just kind of like hiding and waiting to see what it is. And you can sense that it moves past you in the hallway, but you don't see anything.
Okay.
Like, not even a ripple. This does not feel like someone's hiding using obfuscate. You know what that feels like, and you know that either you sense them or you don't. There's no half measures about it. This is something else.
I've had no encounters with ghosts or spirits or anything like that.
I don't believe in crap like that.
Okay. Not only vampires.
Right.
I want to try to find one of these, the ambulatory undead.
All three of them are down in the catacombs.
So that's where I'm going.
Okay. You'll sneak your way down to the catacombs. You come very close to the room that has these five people in it. But unless you want to go accost the one that's in the room with them,
I don't. I'm looking for one of the wanderers.
Okay. Yep, you go wandering off. The catacombs here look very similar to the ones in Colmar, only they're a lot more broad. This cathedral's been around for a few centuries longer than the St. Giles Abbey. Also, it's a cathedral and not an abbey.
Mm-hmm.
So if you weren't scrying the hearthstone, you probably would have gotten lost in here already. But you make your way through. It's dark. There are candles, but it's very dim light in here. You make your way through, and you find one of these things. It's dressed in a peasant's clothes. Its skin is pallid and gray. Its hair is falling out in clumps. And its head is down. It's just kind of shuffling forward slowly. Not towards you, kind of off down a hallway.
Zombie?
Any sort of occult check or something?
This is not something you've ever encountered before.
Okay. Hey.
It stops and turns. As it turns and you see its eyes moving as it looks around,
One eye is completely milky, and the other one is, it's reddened, and it almost kind of floats in its orbit as it turns around, almost like part of it's detached. So you don't imagine it's actually seeing much of anything through those eyes, but it is certainly looking around.
Yeah, that's not creepy.
No, not at all.
Zombies. Yeah.
Reed? Werewolf.
It's definitely not a werewolf.
It's definitely a werewolf.
It makes a sound. It's not like the usual. But it... And it raises one arm. The other one is still kind of down. It raises an arm. And it starts making broad, sweeping gestures towards you as it moves towards you.
I want its arm.
You're going to attack it and grab its arm?
I want its arm. As in, separate it. I was told to bring something back, so... Okay. Yeah.
Can you scry on bones that someone used to own?
You guys are going to find out.
Scry on the zombie to insert.
Just to remove his arm and leave.
Well, I figured you guys would want to see it.
Yeah, we would.
All right, that is a... I mean, its arm is moving slowly enough that you don't need to make an attack to grab it, because it's unaware of you. So you can just make me a strength brawl to try and rip its arm off.
And my potence adds something.
Your potence will add dice, or you can spend a blood point to give you a free success. Which I was running that incorrectly before, but we're going to fix that from now on.
Okay.
So potence just adds dice to your strength checks, or you can spend a blood point, and then each dot of potence for each... You know what? Let me read it right out of here to make sure I'm doing it right.
Auto success. Basically.
Just wait.
Wait.
Presence, Protean, Potence. Adds one die to all strength-related rolls. Further, the player can spend one point and change his Potence die into an equal number... His Potence die is an equal number of successes to all strength-related rolls for the turn.
I'm going
to
do that.
Okay.
Let me do more than one.
No, you spend one board point and all of your potents become successes.
Right. In the case, three.
Okay. Wow, awesome. All right, it fails to soak any of that, so you rip its arm clean out.
Okay.
You grab, twist, and plant a leg against it and tear the arm off. It shudders forward as its arm comes loose, and a little bit of black, kind of rotted, clotted blood spills out, but it doesn't appear to mind or even notice.
Alright. Does it have, like, clothes on? Cloth? Yeah. Anything? Okay.
Yeah, you've torn some of the cloth as you grab it.
Okay, great. I just want to cover my bases here.
Okay. it stops for a moment and very slowly pats its empty hole. And then begins to move forward, waving its other arm.
Yeah, I'm leaving.
Okay.
This place.
You out. Alright. As you are leaving, give me another dex stealth without your superpower added in, because nobody is going to notice you.
One, two, three, four, five.
Okay. As you're making your way out, you can again sense that room where those five vampires are. You're glad that you've got your Scry the Hearthstone up, because one of them looks up suddenly, looks around, closes its book, pushes itself away from the table, and leaves the room. You kind of bundle yourself down a side passageway and don't move as it walks past, and you see a figure dressed in black robes with a hood up over its head, walking out, but its hands are exposed. You can actually see them pulling the hood up as it walks down the hall, and the hands are white and withered and claw-like. It looks like the hands of a corpse.
And it pulls its hood up and then it folds its hands into its robes and it continues on down the hallway in the direction that you just came from.
That's each.
Well, I need to go follow him now.
Okay. Alright. You follow him back down the hall. He moves very silently down these hallways in a straight line right towards that thing that you ripped the arm off of.
Uh-huh.
It gets there, and there's a sharp intake of breath, and it rushes over. The thing notices it and starts shambling towards it. And as it does, the thing in the robes pulls a hand out and puts a hand firmly on this thing's chest, and it just stops and kind of sinks in place, deflates almost. And he, you think it's a he, begins inspecting the gap and the gash on the body, and then turns and looks this thing in the eye, grabs its head and tilts its head up so it's looking right into this thing's milky eyes and pushes its face very close to it. You don't know if it's kissing it or if it's putting their foreheads together or what it's doing.
I want to try to steal some of his robe. Just cut a scrap of cloth off.
Okay. You would like to do this unnoticed, I assume?
Yeah.
This is a dex plus stealth, a difficulty 9.
I'll spend the willpower.
Okay.
Does my feline grace or hiding apply?
One of those should, yeah.
4 successes.
A diff 9.
Yeah.
Go willpower roll.
Yeah. Good.
Alright, you sneak up behind it, and as it's doing this, you just part of the rope that's dragging across the floor, you just lift it very carefully and just take a quick swish with your knife, and you've got a scrap of cloth, you know, maybe like an inch in diameter, you secret that away in a pouch and back up. It's got its head close to this thing's head, and then it darts. And then darts back. You get a glimpse of the side of its face when it does that, and the pallor of the flesh is the same as the hands, just this bone white. Old dry corpse look. Alright, it goes back to what it's doing.
Maybe I should actually leave now.
Okay, give me one more normal dex stealth without your supernatural logy.
And this is where I botch. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Okay. Cool.
Out
you go.
Turns out I'm really stealthy.
You sneak upstairs and you have to stop at a moment because there's a couple of a priest and a monk talking to each other. The priest seems to be giving the monk some directions on the next book to begin working on illuminations for. And you can sense one of these flitting things coming down the hall towards them. They don't seem to notice anything. They continue talking. You're holed up in this corner, just kind of watching, and you feel it pass right through where they are, intervening in the same exact space that they are in. And there's a moment where they both shiver and mention something about a draft, and then kind of go their opposite ways.
Yeah.
You otherwise make it out without incident.
Okay. Yeah, I think I go back to the Abbey.
Okay.
Yeah, it seems good.
Brother Wolfgang, you may want to summon Brother Marius. I found some things that the two of you might appreciate.
Very well. I send Ludovic to go get you. Are you playing your store?
Yeah. Always.
The song of summon cash.
Let me show you the song of my people.
The song of summon cash.
Yes. Yeah. It doesn't work. For days I tried. Meanwhile, Marius had said that he was going to take Chaucy to court to actually show him the Elysium.
Mm-hmm.
This Elysium is a lot more active than the Prince's old Elysium is. Myron right usually now. Has... a musician playing, or someone reading poetry, or like works of art displayed around it, and people are kind of clustered and having discussions. the Toreador and the Venture generally are bringing their ghouls to these things as well, so they're a lot more populous and people are actually communicating and talking to each other.
Okay, I'll bring my ghoul in with me.
Yeah, you bring your ghoul in. You guys get to mingle a little bit. You show him some of the other folks around town. You're not too clear on who some of these people are.
I'll just introduce myself.
But you'll introduce yourself and you guys will talk around. And, you get a chance to meet Molinelli. You get a chance to meet Montford, Montford's two childer. As well as Simeon, who you've probably met once or twice before, who will show up here every once in a while with his wife, evidently because she wants to come.
Yeah,
Larissa wants to be here and interact with other vampires.
Sure.
So she'll reach out and have a couple of short conversations with you and introduce you to Simeon probably for the third or fourth time. And there's that nod between the two of you as two men who've gone to war and come back changed from it.
Maybe talk briefly about it or something.
There's probably a lot of inroads between you and he in terms of, like, you know, this is a guy who you could actually, like, practice some sword fighting with, who might have a little bit of skill with a sword as opposed to most of these other people.
Perhaps sometimes we should have some practice lessons, at a later date.
Perhaps. But yeah, you mingle around and you show Chaucy around, and he's got some insights into the interaction with people and how different people's ghouls interact with them and how they seem to interact with other people's ghouls. And there's, like, almost this subculture of the way the ghouls are fighting with each other for, like, look, master, I'm better than he is, and things like that. And he's like, oh, God, I'm following into it, too, because I'm telling you all about it in the hopes to impress you. Oh, it's so cunning. But the evening social discourse ends, and you all head back to the chantry where Ludovic is waiting for you to summon you to
King's Chamber. We'll go right there then.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wolfgang, in fact, has carved himself out since we have expanded and whatnot. He has a chamber and a sitting room now.
Sure.
Number four.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what he spent his fourth circle apprentice bonus on.
Nice.
I just happened to get a wicker chair.
Right.
Yeah.
So in the sitting room.
If you made it yourself. No one else would make you a wicker chair.
I'll just steal it from one of the monks.
I was thinking the monks did it.
Yeah. I'll just take one from the monks.
Monk, make me a wicker chair.
You monk 17.
So I investigated the cathedral.
What? And you found?
Eight vampires, or eight humans, five vampires, three creatures of the Walking Dead that were not vampires, and an unknown number of ghosts or spirits. They had no visible form, but they definitely had a presence.
Interesting.
I brought you gifts. Here's a cloth from one of the vampires. Just slam a slab of rotting arm down. And
he slaps it down, and the arm starts twitching. Like it's grasping.
Knowledge occult?
Yeah.
Okay. You guys have never run into this either.
Or like when I asked that question.
Though they do have a broader occult knowledge than you do, so you guys can go ahead and roll it. This is difficulty 9.
Okay.
Intelligence occult, right?
Yes, into cult. You may not spend willpower on this.
One. One success.
Do you have more ones than successes on there?
No. Oh, yes.
Okay.
Analytical?
Yeah, sure.
Two.
Well, we are using the library. Can we use the library as well?
Are you using the library?
Absolutely. I would like to.
Okay.
Because I just read that today, too.
Yeah, grabs the books.
Yeah.
All right, hold on. So you guys take a look at this thing, and you roll what you have in front of you to try and figure out what you know.
Yeah.
Marius takes a look at this, and you're like, oh, God. It's everything we've read about the Asimites and their powers over death. The Asimites are coming. The Asimites are here.
The Asimites?
Because you got a bunch of nephew. With two successes, this is certainly not vampire, though this might be a vampiric power might be able to do this.
But this isn't, like, flesh crafting.
No, this is certainly not flesh crafting, because that only works on live flesh. But...
Do the stacks!
Yeah, you can add the stacks. Alright, the occult library's rating is currently 3, so you can make that same roll and add 3 dice.
Alright.
So, fair warning, using the library takes time, at least 12 hours, but can increase based on the rarity of information sought. Some information is simply not carried in the library.
Gotcha.
So this roll that you are making is essentially over the next few nights.
Sure.
In addition to whatever else you're doing, like, oh, what about this book? Does this have anything? Because you don't have, like...
Lawrence is going to come help, too.
Sure. You don't have a card catalog. Stuff or anything like that.
I'd also like to take some time to scry the piece of cloth to get to
Why don't you go ahead and do that instead, because you're already convinced that you know the answer.
Yes. Yeah.
So Lawrence is going to come help. Are the other two guys reasonable at a cult?
No.
You don't know.
They're brand new apprentices.
You can ask them to come and help, too. That's fine.
Everybody is going to come and help me study. I did my part.
All right. So we'll pause before you make
a
roll.
I want to do that.
You've got Lawrence. The system's fine. We're just going to pool the results that all of you get, and those are the total number of successes that all of you guys get working together. Before that happens, though, the second night of you, like, whatever else you're doing, look up, you know, moving dead body parts and stuff like that. I assume that you don't show anybody else this arm. What do you do with it?
We will put it in one of the sarcophagi.
Okay.
And leave it there.
Okay. So. It grows a whole new zombie.
I can throw him off that zombie and see how many we can get.
This is how the other guys got him, too. Somewhere back in history, there was one zombie.
They don't even know where it came from.
Fell out of space. Alien zombie.
So you have to roll 11 dice.
Hold on.
The thing hurts.
You will. Before you do that, over the next couple of nights, you get them to work on this with you. And you'll get a summons from Andretti.
Yeah.
well, just kind of flat out ask you, so you have all of the apprentices researching something with you, something about the moving dead?
Well, yes.
Is there something you'd like to tell me, Apprentice Wolfgang?
Like, you've been occupied, so I didn't want to disturb you. I mentioned this cathedral the other night. The gargoyle went and investigated it for me.
Why?
That's an amazing question. Because retroactively, it was just itself.
Right. He won't even answer. He just blows right past. As he returns.
Stop. Why? And I ask because my understanding is Julian Bradovich is an erstwhile ally, at least for the moment, who has claimed dominion over Stuttgart, evidently?
Not in as many words.
But it's understood, yes?
Perhaps. I'm not certain I trust Julian, and I want to...
This isn't a matter of trust. What possessed you to run the risk of causing dissent between this ally and yourself?
Boredom, mostly.
Intellectual curiosity.
Lamont went rogue. And
you guys are not helping.
He needs to be punished.
We need to brainwash this frickin' girl. We are coming to a point where we're going to need to exert leverage in at least one direction, if that direction is in fact Julian Bradovich. I wanted to have all available information around him and his, and when he told me of this cathedral, he could just as easily have been telling me of it with the intention that I would simply allow him to investigate it.
It's him, Julian, to investigate it? It's Julian's in his city.
Yes. May we move on to the moving arm in our basement?
No. No, we may not. You may not make any further requests of the gargoyle that include him leaving the grounds of the chantry without my direct permission first. This is a direct order. He is not your play toy.
Noted.
Now, tell me about your moving arm.
That's a thing I can make.
We're getting there.
Okay.
Quick, will upload that.
It's not going anywhere.
Actually, no. I don't want you to kill him. I want you to immobilize him so that I can get him.
There's lobster in there somewhere.
Delicious lobster.
Blood bond him to you first. That way he can teach you everything he knows and then de-lobsterize him.
Right. Okay. He discovered a number of vampires, a number of humans, what he believed to be spirits of some sort, and ambulatory dead. He removed an arm from one of these creatures and returned with it. It is in a sarcophagus. It's a bone.
Next to your room.
Under your bed. That's
a scratching sound.
Yeah, Bagman sound just bites. Stitched to the back of Marcus. Who didn't seem to notice or care.
He's tapping me on the shoulder.
I'm a stabber, bitch. Get my stabbing arm.
What just gives it a Roberto?
I don't know.
As you have been occupied in court, the apprentices and I are trying to divine the meaning of this thing. Unless you just know.
I want a full report on whatever it is that you find.
Of course. Would you like to see the CDR?
After you've submitted your report, perhaps.
Very good. I return to the library. I just kept walking.
Okay. Maybe there's a room in that cell next to Piers.
For energetic.
In any case, you may now make your roll.
Scry on the
with all of your
to
guys.
Help lower the difficulty in the research. If I scry on them to get a picture of what they look like.
No.
Okay.
Because that's just you giving them a description, as opposed to him giving them a description. And if you show them the bowl, they still have to read through a whole bunch of books and text descriptions from other people and see if there's anything in there mentioning it. There's no way to just put this in a search bar and be like, Walking Dead, and see if the right GIF image
now
comes
on AMC.
Yes. Right.
Alright.
An assist.
One. This is diff 9, you said?
Diff 9.
2, 3... I have 3 successes.
You're not helping. Remember, you've already come to your conclusion.
Oh, okay.
Probably can get a ton of valuable information from scry, just not reducing the difficulty.
Not reducing the difficulty. You can certainly scry.
Yeah, so I'll sit there and scry while they're searching it. Watch these guys. What they do.
Okay. Hold on. Let me get all of their rolls out of the way here. Well, he didn't bother.
He might have to go.
Okay.
He's crimping his
thighs. I've been saying that since episode 1.
Especially now that this guy can scribe. Like, if we can get the thing that lets us make scrolls of rituals... I've got anything really.
How many successes did you get?
I had 3.
3? Okay. The lesser apprentices come up with kits. Yeah. They got nothing. They look at a whole bunch of books and they're like, I don't know.
I fundamentally disagree with you using the expression tits to indicate nothing.
Yeah.
Or bad things.
That's an exceptional success.
those are usually good things.
They come up with tits in that they come up with a whole bunch of distracting things that do not have anything to do with the specific issue, but lots of questions about other weird clans.
I'm not going to win any awards for saying it, but I'm pro-breasts.
And God bless you, sir, for making the right choice.
No,
in life.
But God bless breasts.
Amen. However, you start making a little bit of headway. You catch a story
in a journal that you guys have access to through the occult library of a traveling lower-level apprentice who was just kind of ferrying texts back and forth to his masters, who claimed that he found an old graveyard overrun with moving dead, but decided to move on. And you're like, oh, that's interesting. I wonder where that was. And while you're looking for kind of references to where in the world that may have been, Lawrence comes walking over with a book and puts it down next to you. Because he got 6 successes.
Wow.
Actually, he got 7, but one of the apprentices botched, and so that removed some of the...
Yeah. Then he just whips it out and lays it on the book, so you know who's in charge here.
Right.
Yeah, but he very quietly sets the book down, and then, as soon as he has your attention, flips it open, flips to a page, and says, right here, rare bloodlines.
Hmm. I read.
There is mention of a bloodline active in Anatolia and kind of off to the east that go by 2 different names, the Ashurians or the Cappadocians, depending on where in the world they're encountered. Their clan is described as almost corpse-like in visage, where the Nosferatu become inhuman and monstrous. The Cappadocians slowly over time look like they just become dried up, mummified corpses. They don't rot, though. And they seem to have some sort of affinity for the dead or control over corpses. And that's really it. No one really knows what they're interested in or what they're about. They keep to themselves, and they're fairly quiet. Or at least the Tremere don't have any other information than that.
Interesting.
This is quite interesting. Have you come across anything else about these Cappadocians? I don't believe I've seen anything in the text section.
This term, Ashurians, children of Ashur, I've noticed in a few other places dating back at least 500 or 800 years. They seem to be referred to as a clan.
Oh, you guys good?
They certainly seem to be referred to as a clan.
Interesting.
Anything I come up in reference to them just suggests that they be left alone.
I will go inform you then. Thank you, Jim.
Interesting.
Let's go bug them.
Introduce ourselves to them.
We'll pick up with you guys bugging them and bugging Andretti and what have you next week, because it is now 11 o'clock. Yeah, anytime Andretti says, knock it off, you're not in charge, you're like, all it takes is one push. Down the stairs.
He's going to walk all the way up them.
You get some delicious XP.
Oh.
Ah. I'm not enough of a sneak, I need to be able to shark through stone.
Right.
That was way too hard.
So. How much XP do you need to be able to shark through stone?
5.
5?
Yeah.
Totally give you 5 for tonight. Okay. You guys can have 3.
You're a liar. You lied to me.
I said I could.
Just okay, like we heard BAP, we didn't hear could.
Yeah.
I just heard I'd totally give you 5.
That is also what
I heard. I heard should. You should give us 5.
In fact, I heard I'll give you 7.
Yeah.
Alright, you guys can have 2. I can dance all day.
What you say is irrelevant. It's what I put down on the sheet that actually matters.
Hey, check this out. What?
I invite you to go home, write I went on a post-it note, put it on your forehead, and go stare in the mirror and smile for a while.
I'm good.
Can I masturbate slowly?
Absolutely.
For any I went on a post-it tower, I wake up every morning. Just be feeling good about the day.
Brilliant.